You're listening to Short Track America.
Real Racing USA, back at you live from the Snook River Grill, 2505 Manatee Avenue East in Bradenton, Florida. Another beautiful Tuesday night. Huh, Bill?
Oh, man, let me tell you, it's beautiful outside. I wish I'd been out playing some golf today. It's a beautiful temperature, beautiful out there. Spent most of the day up in Sun City Center with the Chamber of Commerce, but that's a whole nother show.
The Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah, that's it.
Speaking of the Chamber of Commerce, you know, he's been on our ass all night long, and all of a sudden he just disappears.
Yeah, we start the show, he goes tinkle.
But you know what? If you listen.
Howdy, boys.
Grandpa's
I'm
back.
Rick Angies.
I'm Bill Green.
Stan Cohen.
You're not Stan,
Stan
Cohen.
How you doing? And you're going to give away our biggest surprise of the night, ain't you?
I already know what it is.
I do, too. I spotted it about 8 weeks ago when it showed up the first time in a.
That's right.
Press release.
And that just goes to show you that we've been doing this for 8 weeks now from the Snook River Grill.
It is number nine. Or my
song. I think it's
eight
number
or nine.
Number nine. Susie Cream Cheese.
Hey, yeah. Got to congratulate little Johnny Sapricone, who's not so little no more.
You guys are going to stop calling him a little, I think.
Yeah. He did an awesome job in that Race of Champions Saturday night.
That's cool. You know, we got a lot of guys with us on this show tonight who are not little anymore. B.J. McLeod used to be little.
Yeah, I can remember that.
Jeff Choquette used to be little.
Yeah.
Rich Clouser used to be little. Patrick Staropoli.
Still
he's,
little.
He's not so little. He's 16. He's not so little
Yeah,
anymore.
He's grown.
He's getting taller.
Yeah. Darryl Smith, he's not so little.
Right.
Brad Bischoff, he's not so little either.
No.
I think in a wrestling match, Darryl would have a pretty good shot.
And the fastest four cylinders in Florida.
No doubt.
Oh.
No, they don't tell him.
Bill, how rude.
Very rude.
You know, they're sitting here.
Throw me under the bus again. Go ahead.
Shh.
You go.
The Outlaw Modifieds. Florida Outlaw Modifieds.
No doubt. Great class.
Actually, they look like pretty cool cars to me.
So what's the hot news, Rick, from around the United States?
Ricky Carmichael had his press conference Sunday on his decision to come to NASCAR. He was born to race. He says, "I was born to race. It's a great opportunity that I've gotten through the people that I know and what I've accomplished in motorcycles." They asked him what it's been like being in a stock car thus far. No racing, just testing in the late models and stuck in North Carolina and Florida.
He's on the development. And speaking of development teams, he's on a development team, right?
Development team, yes, sir.
We're going to be talking with somebody who's like.
MB2.
Huh?
MB2.
Is that who he's with?
Yeah.
Who are we talking to later? Are we talking to somebody tonight who's on a development team? Or
Brad Bischoff, I believe.
And the guy.
Yeah, and the guy. The developmental guy, yeah.
The developer.
The developer of the developmental.
He who developments.
We got something from Mr. Excitement.
Yep, we'll talk.
Oh yeah, he's in the news.
Mike Cope's favorite newsman.
The heart and soul of Bronson Motor Speedway.
Huh?
The heart and soul of Bronson Motor Speedway.
Man,
boom, boom, boom,
John, you're scary, man. You're scary.
No, he scares me.
Yeah, Mr. Excitement was
Governor's Cup this weekend.
The Florida Governor's Cup 200.
41st annual.
41st annual. Florida Governor's Cup 200. We got a couple of people. B.J. McLeod, who I think in 1998, B.J. McLeod finished second in that race with Pete Orr breathing down his pipes there.
Yeah.
I was really afraid where he was going with that one.
Gates open Saturday at 9 o'clock for registration. Grandstands open at 1. And it's a sight.
And we're going to be raiding Frazier on 118's party with all the
we're going.
The Kardashians out there.
Yeah.
They don't have a clue what's coming to them.
They do now.
The maniacs are coming.
I didn't
what
know
else
we were,
is going on? Man?
I didn't know we started sponsoring parties at the races.
No,
like
we're
that.
Not sponsoring.
I like it.
We don't sponsor anything.
I know, but well, when I say sponsor, we're just part and parcel to making.
Bill,
it
if you don't get to be more fun, we're not going to take you with us.
How much more fun do you want?
A lot
start,
more.
We're
going
to start calling you Mr. Excitement.
Yeah, we want a lot more fun.
Sorry, just trying
who
to.
Who the hell
my,
is Mo?
Trying to get my next thing.
Mo, you know, I talked to Mo last week.
Hey Mo.
Mo is a cool guy. He's one of them guys that does all that. Excuse me, Crash-O-Rama and you know all that crazy stuff. He's one of them guys.
Yeah.
Them guys are pretty cool. Didn't we meet some of them guys too up in Orlando? We went up there to do the Bithlo Summit. Wasn't there some of them?
Maybe.
Did some of them guys
maybe
live there?
Yeah.
At the racetrack.
Some of them guys live in them buses. Are you kidding me?
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Rusty charges them rent out there in the back 40 at Orlando Speedway.
Rusty don't charge no rent.
Hey, oh, Don does? Don Nerone does? Is that who gets the money for the rent? People are living in them buses?
Oh, that was funny. He did have some people living in the buses.
The guys from Citrus and Ocala are mad about that, too.
And Citrus, yeah. Yeah, no doubt.
What are they mad about?
And next week?
Don charging for rent in the buses.
Oh.
Next week, right here at 2505 Manatee Avenue East, Snook River Grill, it is Citrus County Speedway night.
No doubt.
They're
that's
all coming, man. They're all coming.
I heard we got one we can't ooh, quite say yet.
Scary.
But Herb Newman?
Well, Herb may not be.
Oh.
Dun, dun, dun,
that was
dun,
the one I wanted to meet.
Bigger.
Bigger than Herb?
Bigger.
I don't think so.
Physically?
I don't think there's
physically
one bigger than Herb.
Or by name and character?
Both. Anyway, a whole bunch of people are coming down from Citrus County Speedway. All the champions from 2006. I understand Teddy Nelson.
Be good to see Teddy again.
Yeah.
I talked to Cindy not too long ago.
Some super late model guys. We can't
again
say who.
Hey, the kid was doing pretty good. He's been running those carts for a long time up at the
East Doc. Park. The Doc is coming.
Well, somebody
Doc Batson.
Doc
not,
Batson.
Not your Doc. Not
yeah,
your,
Doc Batson.
Not your $1,000 a week Doc, man. I couldn't believe that.
Hey, Bill.
Yeah.
That's called dead air.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's what you get.
Wait, did you remind him of a bad subject or
yeah
what? Doc Miller. Sponsor of Bill Green's Short Track
the owner
America
of the streetcar sprint car.
That's right.
Yeah.
Street legal sprint car.
All right,
street
sorry
legal
to bring up bad memories, Bill. We'll get on by that.
Yeah, get over
yeah
it.
Yeah, but Citrus County Speedway. And as a matter of fact, Doc Batson, who also won the 12 Hours of Ocala, his
right
team.
That'll be interesting.
Doc will be here as part of the Citrus County deal. He won one of the championships up there. And maybe Mike Peters. You know, those guys all get along up there.
Yeah.
Them racetracks, they all get along.
Do they?
Yeah, so I think Mike Peters is
for
coming
how long
down. I don't
want,
know.
How long
I don't
do you
know
think that's going to last?
I don't know. But
of course, running on Friday, running on Saturday, it's good. It's got to be all good.
You guys are, you know, we get people listening to this show, obviously, from all over the country. And
nobody listens to this show.
Yeah, nobody listens to this show. Couldn't draw flies.
I've read that.
Couldn't draw flies. Yeah, but we got a couple of more weeks of some serious Florida stuff.
Uh-huh.
Got fast trucks are coming in. They're going to bring cars, trucks.
Dwayne Barron's sitting out there. He's a truck driver.
Yep, we're going to bring those guys in the parking lot. They're going to bring about 15 trucks, from what I understand, from Mr. Promoter himself, Bobby Deal.
Number one.
I think the same night we should get some cowboy Cadillacs come by, too. Trucks or trucks.
He's just on a roll, isn't
he's
he?
On a roll.
He's on a roll.
And they won't talk about him.
And but as soon as we get done with these next couple of weeks, we're going back out, get outside the Sunshine State, and get back talking to people all over the country. We've spent some time focusing on the guys down in Florida because, well, they deserve
it. It's snowing up there.
Yeah, because it's snowing up there, and they deserve it. And it's, you're going to Snowball Derby? Rick Angie's?
I do not know. That's on hold again.
Uh-oh.
I got a family thing coming up that I don't know if I can miss or not.
Oh.
My brother's coming in.
You got tickets to the Dolphin game, right?
Kitchen pass
no,
rejected.
No, Dolphin game.
Okay. Is it time for Mr. Excitement?
Let's
going absolutely nowhere with this.
No doubt.
If you want Mr. Excitement, you can have Mr. Excitement, but you're going to give me a few seconds to get to Mr. Excitement.
Okay. Well,
because he accidentally got taken off the screen.
Not, no. No, Bill, say it isn't so.
No, it's
you
there.
Did not take John Birdie off the screen.
Yeah, I did. Whenever I was trying to figure out what was going on a minute ago.
John Birdie, call us.
No, don't call us.
No, don't call us. Call. I don't want you to call us.
No, I want you to call.
But Steve Brigham, if you are listening, call us around 8:30. I left a message on your telephone to that effect. But if you're like me, you don't really listen to those messages for at least
There's
a few
John.
Days.
There's John. I see him. Yeah, he's in the corner. Ready?
It's time. Let's go.
Oh. Here's John Birdie with this week's Short Track Minutes from Mr. Excitement. Mr. Excitement. Mr. Excitement. Mr.
This is John Birdie with Mr. Excitement's 3 Minutes of Fame. Well, it looks like the final race of the season for the NASCAR Nextel Cup chase for the championship has been reduced to a formality with Jimmy Johnson's second-place finish in Sunday's Checker Auto Parts 500 at Phoenix International Speedway. Kevin Harvick won the race, his second chase for the championship win and fifth of the season. Johnson has opened up a 63-point lead over his closest pursuant, Matt Kenseth. All JJ has to do is finish 12th or better at Homestead, Miami to secure his first Nextel Cup championship. Is the Mason-Dixon meltdown scheduled for November 24th and 25th at South Boston, Virginia Speedway in trouble? The $12,500 to win, $1,000 to start event was originally planned to be for Whelen modified tour-type cars, but promoters of the event have opened it up to SK Modifieds, giving them weight breaks in an apparent move to beef up the field. Rumors are afloat that the race will not happen at all. Co-promoter Bob Dillner has his work cut out for himself in dispelling those rumors. Speaking of Whelen, NASCAR and Whelen Engineering have announced a multi-year agreement with Whelen to become the new title sponsor of NASCAR's weekly racing program. The series will be renamed the NASCAR Whelen All-American Series in 2007. It's been several years since the weekly NASCAR race program had a sponsor. The last, if you remember, was Winston. It's been an unbelievably good week for Josh Wise as he won the 39th annual Checkers Auto Parts Budweiser Western World Championship for Sprint Cars at Manzanita Speedway in Phoenix. The win enabled him to wrap up the USAC National Sprint title. To add to his good fortunes, Michael Waltrip Racing announced today that Josh will be coming aboard their race team and will drive in a variety of series in 2007. More details about these stories and many others are available at Carnac.com Southern Short Track News. Until next week, this is John Bertie, hoping that you support your local track with your attendance this coming weekend.
That was this week's Short Track Minute. From Mr. Excitement, John Birdie.
Hey, listen, we got to talk to you about Evergreen Construction Company, Evergreen Development Construction Company. They're bringing those John Birdie minutes to you. We appreciate them joining us for 2006 as much as we do all the others.
It's not sponsored by Bronson Motor Speedway?
No, it's not sponsored by Bronson Motor Speedway, but that would have been funnier. Hey, listen, we've got a young man on the line here at we've watched a race that I've watched grow up a little bit in the last couple of 3 years. He's gotten to be a really good wheel. He seems to be able to handle those small trucks and anything else he gets into very well. Patrick Staropoli, how you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good.
Hey, listen, you had a pretty good 2005. You have a fairly good 2006, but there's been some bumps along the way. How's it going this how do you feel about the 2006 season?
Well, it's been a big learning curve and a big experience gainer for me. And we moved up to the adult series this year, and there's always a whole lot more competition and guys with more experience. And you also have bigger fields, so it's definitely some new things that you have to learn to be competitive with them. But I feel like, you know, every week we've been building on it, getting better and better. We've had a real fast truck, just, you know, a lot of times luck doesn't go your way, and we've been working on that.
Well, I know that you got lots of good plans, and you had a pretty good program going. As I followed the fast trucks and so forth, what kind of changes or tweaking have you done to that plan? What are you doing in 2007, 2008 to prepare yourself for those moves and steps you wanted to make?
Well, we're looking at next year. Actually, my birthday was last week, and I was lucky enough to get a late model.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, thanks.
It's always nice to find a late model under your cake.
Huh?
Always nice to find a late model under your cake.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It was quite a surprise, but I'm glad we got it. It was minus the tranny and the motor, so we're looking at a few different things that we could do next year. It's a left-hander super chassis.
Nice.
And, you know, depending on the motor that you put in it, you know, you could run, you know, with the supers, or they have ASA coming down here supposedly for a few races. So we're looking at all of our options and just seeing what we're going to do.
That'll be cool. Who's going to be a sponsor with the late model? Do you know yet?
We're trying to look for a sponsor. I mean, anything will help. that's we haven't been able to run too many races this year because, you know, sponsor dollars backing us, but we're always looking.
I tell you what. Now, where do you live? Let's remind everyone.
I live in Plantation, Florida.
Right. So you're out there a little ways from most all the tracks nowadays. Which track do you enjoy going to, and which one's like the hardest one to deal with, having to drive to it or drive on it?
Well, I really liked Hialeah until that closed, but this year we've been to Lakeland twice, and that's probably my favorite track right now. You just go so fast there, and it's you know, different from most of the other tracks we run because it's so much bigger than them. And it just takes a different feel and a completely different setup to run good there, and I enjoy that challenge.
Well, Patrick, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
He gets the second part of my question. Which one's worst? Which one's the worst one to drive at?
The worst one?
Go ahead. Come on. Be honest.
Well, we've actually run good at this particular track, but I just really, you know, didn't enjoy racing on it. It was probably Auburndale.
Patrick, let's get down to some real serious questions now, okay? Yeah, I blew them out again. They don't have my mic set right. But, you know, we talked to your good buddy David Wilson last week.
Yeah, he told me about that.
Yeah. So now the serious question is, what are you going to do to prepare next year to be able to kick his butt on the computer racing games you guys do?
Well, I don't know if you mentioned it, but I definitely had more wins than him when we were racing each other.
He's not the way we got the story.
No, the story was not that you were winning them all. Nope. That's not what I'm saying. Anyway.
Who is this? Patrick Starpole.
And who is he racing? Oh, David Wilson.
David Wilson.
You didn't call him David Wilson, did you?
No.
Did you listen to our show last week, Patrick?
Did you, Patrick? Did you hear me?
Did you hear the show last week?
I messed with him at the beginning of the show. I called him Patrick Starpole.
He thought David Wilson was you.
Yeah, I think I heard that.
It's been a while since I've seen either one of you.
Hey, David, you're involved here with the
They'll continue to throw me under
drugs.
The bus until I'm bruised.
Come on, you guys. Chill out.
Okay.
Patrick, you're involved with the racingagainstdrugs.org thing?
Yeah, we're actually in the public shopping center right now. They're having a holiday fest thing where everybody could come and, you know, taste test different foods and, you know, stack up for Thanksgiving and stuff like that. And we have the truck on display in the parking lot for the Race Against Drugs organization, which is basically made to tie in motorsports with, like, drug awareness and prevention and to teach kids to stay on the right track in life and to be drug-free. So, you know, we have coloring books, posters, pencils, things like that we're handing out trying to get the message out to kids.
Good deal. Who arranged that, Patrick? Who set all that up?
Well, I actually heard about it. I've seen it a few times at some of the racetracks we've been to. And I visited their website and, you know, started talking to the people, and I became a official spokesperson for them. And we've been going around when we have the autograph sessions and stuff like that at the different races and doing it too.
We got to invite more people into the room because they're all standing outside looking through the door they're afraid.
Are all the people scared of us?
Come on in. There's plenty of seats. Patrick, we got a big room here. And it holds about 60 or so, and there's only about 20 in it, and there's about 12 standing outside.
Yes.
Anyway,
Are you, Patrick, are you going to race in the...
They're all against the wall.
I know, they're all lined up against the wall. Patrick, are you going to race in the Hopkins Family Trucker 200?
We're looking at that. We have New Smyrna coming up, I think, next weekend now, and that's 100 lappers, so we're definitely going to be there. And
right.
I guess, you know, depending on how we come out of that, we'll determine what races we run for the rest of the year.
So but basically, like, you're saying if you have a truck left, you'll race in it?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
He always comes home with a truck in one piece.
You should do good. You did pretty good at the last outing over at Lakeland. You were coming back through the field late in the race. You got a top five, didn't you?
Yeah, we ran fourth. We started 11th, and, you know, it was just another one of those things. You qualify, you know, mid-pack, and then it takes so long to pass the guys to get up to the front. You just run out of laps. But, you know, we got 50 more at New Smyrna, so I'm looking forward to that.
There you go.
For the 2006 season, Patrick, did you bring home the vehicle that you raced in more often than not with all the wheels and tires and fenders on it?
Yeah, we had a little bit more body damage this year than we did last year. But I guess what comes when you move up to the adults.
Because you had a couple of good bangs in 2005 that I remember.
What was that?
I said in 2005 you had a couple of good contacts. So I figured maybe you'd got through 2006 a little unscathed, but you're saying no, you still tore up some stuff.
Yeah, it's been a little bit worse this year. We had one bad wreck last year, I guess you'd say, up at Albany in Georgia. I got run over a little bit, but we're doing pretty good this year as far as body panels go. We haven't had to replace anything.
Are you finished with school yet?
No, I'm in 11th grade.
Okay, I thought you still had a couple years ago, but I wasn't sure. And so how's the school going, and how's everybody feel about your racing at school is what I really want to get to.
Well, I've been in the school newspaper a few times, so everybody knows about it. And, you know, I keep them up to date on my racing and stuff like that. And as far as the grades go, I got straight A's last quarter. So that's
very
the agreement.
Good.
Good grades, and I get to race.
There you go. I think that's the catch-all for everybody that's under 17 or 18 years of age. If they don't get good grades, they don't get to keep racing. Well, that's pretty cool.
It's a lot of work, you know, balancing it with the racing and stuff. But, you know, it's worth it to work hard during the week and get to play on the weekend.
I want to ask you a special question, and that is, what's it been like? Because for the last probably 3 or 4 years of your racing here, your family has been together every weekend, so to speak. It's not been like, you know, you go to the movie and they go to the mall. So what kind of difference has that made, do you feel, in your family unit?
Well, it's a good experience. We all get to spend a lot of time together. And, you know, like you said, most people, they go do movies on the weekends or something like that, and they don't get to spend that time together. So I really like how my whole family, you know, participates in my racing and supports me like that.
Have you given them all tasks to perform when it comes to the racing?
No.
Oh, nobody's
my dad basically takes care of all the stuff with the truck, and then, you know, my mom and my sister, they're always there to support me. But
okay, usually they're keeping times or doing something else special for you, but that's kind of cool because I know they enjoy being at the races and watching you succeed at it. Well, I tell you what, man, all the best of the luck and stuff. I hope that we see you in the late model in the winner's circle pretty soon.
Yeah, hope so.
You got some sponsors to take care of before we send you packing?
Yeah, I'd like to thank Palms Truck Centers, Paul's Transmissions, Snap-on, and American Auto Electric. And anybody else that's out there that's interested in maybe sponsoring us, I have some packages that I put together. And if anybody's interested, they could go to my website at www.patrickstaropoli.com.
All right, man. We appreciate it, Patrick. Thanks so much. Ladies and gentlemen, great young racer. If you get a chance to see him, go out there and watch.
All right. Thanks a lot for having me on here.
All right, buddy.
All right, guys. Bye.
How cool is that? We just finished with Patrick Staropoli, and we go right to the 360 champion at East Bay Raceway Park. He walks through the door. How was the trip down? Grab a microphone. Come on.
Kenny, you know how to
who's
use
this
that
guy
microphone,
with
right?
Who's this? I know this is
Daryl Smith and Kenny Sands.
Kenny Sands, car
owner extraordinaire. He had to go out and hire somebody to race a thing and finally got himself a championship because they've been trying. How many years you guys been actually battling for the championship in reality? You got to turn it on.
Yeah, turn that on.
Come on, man. We got to get you radio savvy.
Fifth. This is our fifth
it's
year.
It's up near your hand. There you go.
Fifth year.
And I think you guys have finished in the top five several times.
Yes, we had a couple of second place and third place finishes.
Yeah, so it was your due, I guess. You've paid your due, so to speak.
Definitely.
You got to put it really close. What's the hardest thing about racing 360s at East Bay Raceway Park?
Probably the competition and money, of course. That's the two big things. There's a lot of good race car drivers in Florida. I know we don't get to travel as much as a lot of my other guys, but. Of course, you got Sport Allen always. He's always pretty tough to beat. And you got Brian Maddox. He's been there about as long as anybody. And mainly competition and money.
Think
well,
so?
Yeah, well, I got a question.
Go ahead.
Kenny, how do you go from being an announcer to a car owner?
He saved up the money he was getting paid.
Successful.
I'm not going down that road. I'm not doing that.
Successful car owner.
No, really. I mean, what got that? Did you own cars before that?
I raced cars up in New York.
I knew you raced in New York.
I raced cars. Didn't really own any cars. When the Varnadors took East Bay, I didn't have a job as an announcer. So I'd already bought a sprint car, though. Daryl had raced prior for me. And I guess it's the love of the sport. It's obviously...
Well, it keeps you around it, and it's always a lot of fun. I mean, East Bay's been a cool place to be, whether you're in the pits or on the mic kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I want to go back then and ask you, what kind of cars did you race? What were you racing?
Street stocks.
Just kind of street stocks? Where at?
Orange County, Middletown, New York.
Okay. So up north.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool. What brought you south?
Will Cagle.
Oh, really?
I worked for him up there.
Oh, you did?
I worked for him at Orange County after I got done racing.
We'll keep that on the QT. I may cut that out.
I had to look around and see if I was going to
be shot. We're not cutting that out.
Will Cagle brought you this way. Well, that's the first person
you still see Will? I mean.
Periodically, he's been at East Bay in the pits, but.
Yeah.
Does he still look the same?
He looks the same.
Oh, yeah, you can tell.
That guy hasn't changed in 40 years.
When I see him, I recognize that's Will Cagle because it's just in my mind. But otherwise, in a store or something, I probably wouldn't recognize him. I don't know.
I would.
I would. Pretty cool. Is
his hair's changed color, but that's the only.
Sorry,
color.
So is mine.
So for all those thousands of people out there who have recently moved to Florida or don't know who Will Cagle, who's Will Cagle?
Where do you start?
Where do you start?
A lot of people up north know Will Cagle because he was one of the guys who went north with the Rudimans and so forth, and they used to dominate the tracks up north.
When I was a small little kid, we used to go to Middletown, and we'd sit in the drive-in hill up on top. Will Cagle, you could not beat Will Cagle.
Right.
Out of all them drivers that I knew way back then, that's the only name I remember from back in those days.
Yeah, because I remember... Dale Lynch drove for my dad, and they once had a wreck with Will Cagle, and it was the only time he ever got to beat him, he said.
You think Don DeRone tells some stories? Sit down with Will Cagle.
He got knocked out. But the
funny thing is...
it's amazing.
Will Cagle drove for Darrell's grandfather down here.
Oh, did he?
Way back when Willard had cars.
Yeah. Now, Darrell, let's get to your side of the racing family, because you've got a long lineage, so to speak, too. Start from Grandpa and work your way up to where you are today.
Well, of course, my grandfather, Willard Smith, he's owned cars. Of course, Will Cagle's drove for him. Pancho Alvarez, just all the guys back in the day. I think he was most famous for his Buick V6, basically. And then, of course, my Uncle David, which they call Smoker Smith. That's my uncle, and my dad is Robert, and just been around it since the day I was born.
Did you get to travel with Robert and go to the little 500s and stuff?
Actually, he got burnt in 86. I think I was 4 years old. That's probably the most traveling I can remember. A lot of my cousins and everybody else got to do all the traveling back in his good days.
Okay.
So that was kind of right when I came along is kind of when his traveling quit. I don't know if that was coincidence or burn or what.
I'm sure he slowed down a bunch.
Definitely.
But Robert's well known. I mean, he's had a lot of wins and a lot of great races and stuff.
So. He still set some track records. I think he still got St. Pete. I don't know if – I think Dave Stillman ended up getting it right before they closed it down. But it didn't happen until the 2000s, and he probably set it in like 80s. You know what I mean? So quite a while back. And
how tough is it to win a championship at East Bay?
How tough? Very tough. I mean – We ended up having some bad luck the night of the USCS race, but mainly our strategy this year was just not tearing nothing up. I mean, we was consistent. We was consistently fast. Didn't go through a bunch of cars, staying out of trouble mainly, and then being there at the 25th lap, not trying to win it on the first one.
Right.
So. Well, Kenny, that's really important, though, at you as the owner, somebody that takes care of their equipment like Darrell does. Because, I mean, Darrell wheeled around the track, but he does know how to take care of his equipment.
Yeah, I would almost bet in the last 3 years, the car's kind of at least broken even through the year.
Yeah.
The first 2 years, there was no way you broke even with the pieces you had to replace and stuff.
But
so that shows some of the maturity that's grown with him, too.
Right. We've really destroyed one car, totally destroyed one car, and that was the Eagle that we bought from Casey Johnson back years ago.
What happened to it, Darrell?
I was in North Georgia Speedway, and Audrey Black hit me in the left rear, ended up in the fence.
Is that your worst one?
Yeah.
Your whole career, though?
Split his helmet.
The only one that I can really say is my fault besides last Saturday was my first time ever in a sprint car. I drove for Bill Roynan at Volusia for Speed Weeks at, I think, 17 years old, and I ended up hitting the front stretch. And it wasn't nothing left of the car but me and the steering wheel.
That's ugly, hitting the front stretch.
Didn't lift. That was my first night
in
sprint car.
Didn't lift, did you?
No, not at all. Started going a little faster.
Did it make you change your mind about how you drove any after hitting that hard or doing something like that?
Not really. Basically, I put a lot of stress on myself. You know what I mean? I'm real competitive, but... I'm real competitive to myself just as much as I am anybody else. You know what I mean? I put a lot of burden on myself, and I do think a lot. People don't think sprint car drivers think, but I do think a lot. You know what I mean? From Monday to Sunday, you know what I mean? It's all week long. It's not just Saturday night. You know what I mean?
You don't have time to think when you're out there doing it.
You got to do it during the week. You know what I mean?
Things happen fast.
Yeah.
The wreck at Volusia, though, you said that's the first time you're in a sprint car, but that was your first race in a sprint car.
First time in a sprint car.
You've never driven a sprint car ever?
No. I pushed one off for USCS without the motor in it just to get start money. But that was it for my dad.
Without the motor in it.
Yep. That's one of Robert Smith's tricks. So we was coming back from Indianapolis, and we just pushed it off around track with no motor in it, just to get start money.
What made that guy put you in that sprint car that day? Was that a race? Was that going to be a race night, or was it a race? Or?
Oh yeah, it was a speed week. So it was the second night. It was the first night of the USCS Fall Brawl. I think in 2001. So it was a big night, and I had to start last in the heat race, and I started last in the B main, ended up qualifying. I think I run fourth in the B main. I started like
first time in a sprint car.
First time, yeah, I was doing pretty decent.
I mean, so that night, your first time in a sprint car. Did it just come to you? I mean, did you know you could do that?
Well, definitely. I mean, I've said it since I was old enough to talk. You know what I mean? I've been around races a lot, and I understand them and I respect them both. You know what I mean? Whether that always plays into part, maybe a different story, but I know how to respect one, and that was the main thing. And I lost respect, and it bit me.
But, I mean, do you think that's what it was, though, a rookie mistake?
Definitely. Well,
you said, I got this. I can do
yep.
this.
Yep.
Oh, hell. Dad,
yep, exactly.
The funny thing about it was when I bought a car and told people I was putting him in it, their exact words were, you better have deep pockets because look what he did in his first ride. But he proved them wrong, though.
Yeah,
right.
I had my own car before that. I had the 86 Challenger that I run for like half a season, you know what I mean, by myself on my budget. Working for CTRO maintenance, buying tires when I could. You know what I mean? I didn't tear nothing up. It was just a bad deal. And it's people that say that just they don't really know racing to start with.
Yeah, they were at that race that year. That was their time.
Exactly.
Hey, listen, for 2007, 2008, what's the plan? Going to stick at East Bay and try to win it several times in a row, or what are you going to do?
Well, as of right now, I mean, I ain't got $1 million, so I got to work all week long. So basically, we're going to concentrate on East Bay one more time, and we like to win some more features. We were right there at the end, but we didn't.
How many features did you win?
Zero.
You won the championship,
now it's time to go collect some paychecks.
That does happen a lot, though, right, Kenny? In sprint car championship, especially in East Bay, a lot of guys go through the whole season.
Don't win one.
Is consistency. It's not who's fastest every race.
How many points did the guys right behind you? I mean, how many races did the guys like?
Paulie was right there with you, right?
Paulie won two features. Right.
Paulie, going into last night, Paulie was 3 points behind us.
That's right. He left here. He was all hot.
He was hoping he would have a chance because he didn't get the limited deal. And so he went and,
And then unfortunately that night him and Sport got tangled.
Right.
You know,
Sport and Weingartner, and he ran into it.
Yeah.
But he was upset about that. He said he just done a mistake. But he said he also he came right over to you as soon as he could and congratulated you because you guys have run a heck of a race all year long battling each other back and forth. He thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, Kenny, I wore this shirt just for you.
I'm sure you did.
When the man gave it to me, he said, here, now you can tell everybody I gave you the shirt off my back. So you go.
Hey, now, I want to ask you about your sponsors.
You're the only person in the United States.
You got a bunch of great sponsors. Tell us about them.
First off, I want to start with Buddy's Home Furnishings. They've been with me now, I think, for all 5 years. Of course, they're real close to the family, so I mean, they've stuck with me, and they've been real great to us. And they do a lot. They do a lot for the kids. You know what I mean? It's not just the racing. They do a lot for everybody, and that's a good organization. Also, I want to thank Paul's Lawn Care. They help me out a bunch. They're steady there every week, financially. And emotionally, you know what I mean? Just good people right there, always with a smile, always happy to be at the races. We just got a bunch of them. I want to thank J.R. Prather. Last night, a couple races, we was running a little short on money. Went down and bossed the left rear. So I got to tell him thanks for that. And
Kenny,
who are
some of the guys you brought on? Because you've got like a list of sponsors.
We got Lacey's Tax Service. Right. He's helped us out. Stan Colon has helped us out through help, you know.
You got his number.
How's Stan doing?
He's doing fine.
Is he?
Yeah, he's doing fine.
Is he listening? Do we get a chance to say hi to Stan? I mean, he's
He said he was going to try to listen, so I don't know whether he is or not.
Hey,
Stan, the equipment still works fine, brother. Right. Thank you very much.
How do we sound, Stan?
Yeah, that's Jack and Rick are still, we're still working off of what Stan made happen, so we appreciate his efforts and what happens when it comes to Karnak and radio and all the things that happen around here. But we'd love to see him come back down sometime and sit down and talk to us and say hi.
Ironically, he wants to come down, but he hasn't had the opportunity. But he is planning on coming down.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah, just
tell him
if he wants to sneak in one day, we'll, you know.
Have to have him on the show.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
Love to have you down, and it wouldn't be.
It'd make my month.
Yeah, and
yeah, I'd enjoy that.
It would be a coup of all coups, you know, because I mean, a lot of people still love Stan Kolin. I mean, he did a lot for East Bay Raceway Park. When you go out there and you can run for $10,000 to win and stuff, you know, that ain't happening too much no more. And he did a lot for a lot of the drivers. He was always giving back to them, and there's nobody can fault him for trying hard to make it work well.
So, he damn sure made the Nationals the attraction.
Oh, there's no question about it. And that's
one of the things that, I mean, brought the 410 Nationals back into prominence was Stan Kolin.
We took his little thing there with his lap dash for cash that he would do there at East Bay Raceway. Rick and I had the opportunity to take that little thing over to Auburndale Speedway and do that there. And
with
it was one of the most exciting times they've ever seen at that racetrack.
Yeah, there's always a great time. And he could really make some sponsors, you know, do some nice things. I mean, they come up with some great stuff. I love the, Don Goodson and the Strawberry Dash for Cash. That was like a staple. Everybody loved to come down and do those things. So, anyway, it's nice to know that he's still in racing a little bit on the sides and so forth.
I'm not going to sit here and tell you that someday he won't own another racetrack in Florida, because in the back of his mind, he's looking to do that.
You heard it here first.
Oh, cool. I think it'd be cool.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you, I learned a tremendous...
He could save right now.
We spent a lot of time with Stan, and he taught Rick and I both a lot of stuff about the business end of racing.
Man. No doubt.
A lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah, he got mad at me at the end, but he still taught me a lot.
Bill, everybody gets mad at you.
We get mad at you.
We get mad at you every day.
And getting mad at you.
We got a 3.5-hour ride with him this weekend.
Scary.
But Kenny, what's the plans, man? You going to stay a sprint car owner? Going to get back into the announcing game?
He's going to announce for Stan Kolin when Stan buys his new track.
Yeah, right. Actually, I'll probably be his general manager, but that's neither here nor
another
there.
Another scoop.
But, Randy coming on board with you?
I don't know. You never know.
Daryl, what are you going to have to do with this game?
Dang, off-season promotion.
Hopefully make a lot of money. So I'll buy his race car somewhere.
Well, I'm just going to primarily stick to being a car owner, and I am involved with the Central Florida Wingless Sprints, that non-wing asphalt series.
You were also in with the antique sprints or classics.
Yeah, helping them out too. I kind of announced for them.
You going to that 400 lap race at DeSoto?
Probably.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I'll be there.
Any consideration, Daryl, about trying to make it an asphalt car happen for yourself and go to the little 500 to continue the family name kind of thing?
It'd be nice. I went up there and my cousin qualified like 2 years ago, and we got in a backup car. I didn't get up there on Friday night, and we were just going to run the non-qualifiers race just because I didn't have enough time to get in there and qualify for the race, and end up canceling the race. But the Barfields and stuff said that my times would have been right there if I would have had a chance to get up there. You know what
that's
I mean?
Cool.
In a 410. It was a thing in J&J. It was pretty nice stuff.
Yeah, that's something to keep back of our minds. We'll see you sooner or later on the big screen.
We won a couple. I won a non-wing deal at Auburndale, and we run decent at Ponte Gorda, seconds and thirds.
You run decent at Punta Gorda, you can run just about any asphalt track.
So.
All right, guys. Great seeing you again, Kenny. Daryl,
excellent. Thank
great
you.
Job this
Thank
year,
you.
Man. Congratulations.
You no problem. Anytime.
Don't go far. We'll be back with more Real Racing USA right after these messages from our great sponsors.
You're listening to Real Racing USA, real race talk radio at light speed.
Karnak.com is your one-stop racing news leader. From the local ranks of the Saturday night short tracks to the hundreds of national series covering America, Karnak.com has you covered. Serving the southeastern United States with dozens of reporters and fact finders combing the short tracks of America, Karnak.com brings you the hard-to-get inside reports about what's really happening at the track. Visit Karnak.com online at KARNAC.com or listen to Short Track America online internet radio for the latest news hot off the turns. Karnak.com, where racers go that want both sides of the story.
But this family right now needs, first of all, a lot of prayers and support. And it's a unique disease. It's a form of leukemia. It's going to be at Orlando Speed World. It's going to be December 8th and 9th. And it's a unique deal. Nobody's ever done one. It's a 200-lap truck race. And that's what I want. I want it to be run professional, fair, but in the end, everybody has a good time and the family benefits. And it's basically it. We're going to have mini cup races, legend cars, and we're going to have the big truck race. But the neat thing on Friday night is we're going to have first round qualifying for the trucks, Then we're going to run a mini cups, junior mini cups, the mini cup, you know, adult guy. And then we're going to have barbecue and music and a celebrity auction. It's going to be at Orlando Speed World. It's going to be December 8th and 9th. And it's a unique deal. Nobody's ever done one. It's a 200-lap truck race.
Dayton Andrews Dodge is closing out 2006 in racer-friendly style. Dayton Andrews Dodge on the corner of 22nd Avenue and 34th Street in St. Petersburg, just off I-75, is offering great racer specials for the end-of-year savings. Buy now any new or used car, truck, or van at Dayton Andrews Dodge and tell them you heard it here on Short Track America. They'll send $500 of your racer special deal to sprint car driver Greg Leonard and his wife Vera for the David Leonard Foundation. Looking to help racers in need? That's your racer-friendly Dayton Andrews Dodge five-star dealership. Dayton Andrews Dodge, corner of 22nd Avenue, 34th Street North in St. Petersburg. It's the little drive that saves a lot and gives a little more. 727-321-0500, the number to call for Taylor Andrews at Dayton Andrews Dodge. Tell them Short Track America sent you.
Back at you live, coming from the Snook River Grill.
Music from Dan Toller at DanToller.com.
Yeah, that was Dan Toller.
DanToller.com.
Hey, listen, we got a lot of people in the house tonight. It's great to see everybody coming out and supporting racing and their racers and their families and friends here. Everybody having a good time?
They're not supporting racing.
Come on, I can hear you. All right.
They don't sound like flies, do they?
Just a bunch of flies.
Flies on the wall. That's right.
Flies on the wall. There you go.
We got Brad Bishop and his stepdad sitting with us. And on the phone right now, the 2006 Goodyear Challenge Limited Late Model Champion, Rich Clouser.
Repeat champion.
Repeat champion. Yeah, back to back.
It. How you doing, Rich?
Good. How you guys doing?
What's it feel like to be champion 2 years in a row?
Can't quite hear you guys too good.
Oh, well.
Well, that's not good, Bill.
That's not my fault.
It's your fault, Bill.
No, it's a different phone.
Any better, Rich?
How's that, Rich?
No, not really.
Okay. All right.
Why don't you just call him right back?
Yeah, well, maybe we should, because if we're not got a good connection.
We'll get right back to you.
How about that?
So,
well, Brad, turn that mic on. We'll get right to Brad here.
Go ahead, Brian.
Brad, the season's winding up for you. Had a good run at the Race of Champions till the smoking problem. I mean, you started on front row right behind Lee Collins, and to be honest with you, it didn't look like anybody had anything for you.
Well, I mean, we had a good car. We were running right behind Lee, just kind of hanging there just until it was time for the last laps, and we were going to give it a run for the win. But unfortunately, the right side valve cover started leaking, so we had to pull in the pits. But, yeah, we definitely had a good car.
That car was humming. Sold the car.
Yes.
And you're going super late model racing.
That is correct.
Really? You got a car?
Not yet.
Cool.
That's why we're hoping Choquette shows up.
He'll be on the phone here shortly.
He's going to be on the phone with us, okay. And we'll assault. Were you going to get one of his cars?
No, I was just going.
Oh, okay.
It'd be nice.
It would be nice. Yeah.
Real nice. Especially that orange one.
All right, we should have Rich back. Hey, Rich, you there?
Yeah, you're. Way out there still.
Can you hear us better?
No, not really.
Well, Rich,
I can hear you, but
turn your phone up, Rich. I don't know, buddy. We got it cranked up pretty good, so.
Yeah, go ahead, Bill.
As long as you can concentrate, we should be fine.
Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, Rich.
See, now Bill lost his train of thought.
Yeah, I did. I'm trying to still turn things up, so I'm trying to make sure he can hear us.
Hey, Rich, back-to-back championships. How does that feel?
It's awesome, man. I couldn't ask for anything better. You know, it's something I would have never dreamed of. You know, it was an awesome year for us. You know, last year was an awesome year too. But you know, to do it again, I'm just I couldn't ask for anything else, man.
Well, you've come a long way since I used to watch you down at DeSoto with the the Oldsmobile with the cylinder head for your weight in the back.
Yep, the old street stock. Yep. That was it. We got a championship down there, too. you know, we ran good down there for a couple years. And, you know, right after that, Bobby decided to pick me up. And, you know, ever since then, it's been good. You know, 4 years with Bobby in the Goodyear Challenge Series. And these last 2 years, back-to-back, is awesome.
And that's Bobby?
Bobby Sears.
Yeah.
Did you start in street stocks, or did you start in something else before that?
Actually, Bombers, the Bomber Series at Orlando and New Smyrna. We got a couple championships in that, and then moved up to Sportsman a little bit, and then in 01, we went to street stock over in DeSoto and ran a full year there. Got the championship there, and kind of came back to Orlando, New Smyrna a little bit, you know, here and there. And, you know, Bobby approached me one day, and I couldn't pass the offer up.
Rich, what does Bobby Sears bring to you? What does he do for you?
What does he do?
Yeah.
He basically they take care of the car. Bobby and Danny Sears, his son Danny, you know, they take care of the car. They take care of everything. You know, he puts the bill for everything. I'll go over there once in a while and, you know, get the car set up. If, you know, car's got problems or whatever, get it set up for the next race. And, you know, we just show up and race, basically.
Now, I want to ask you a question. That would be, seeing how you've had so much success, you've had championships in several different levels and so forth, what is your aspiration? Where do you want to go with this, you know, 5 years down the road, maybe?
I mean, as you know as well as I do, it takes a lot of money to do anything else other than we're doing now, you know, late model, maybe super late model. Basically, it'd just be like a sponsor thing, you know. I'd love to go to ASA or Hooters or, you know, something like that, you know, and then maybe into the Craftsman Truck Series or something like that. You know, that'd be a dream.
Anybody who's followed Rich Clouser could tell you, without any question, he is an excellent, very, very good race car driver. He knows how to get around all these tracks in Florida.
And let me tell you something a little more about Rich Clouser, is this guy will take what he has.
That was the point.
Make it right.
He does, you know, more with
what
less.
I was saying earlier about him having a cylinder head hanging off the back of the car for weight, I mean, that's true. You know, he used what he had. And everybody, you know, back then, Rich, you remember, everybody said, that Oldsmobile cannot be that fast.
Yep.
I mean, they were there was no way this car could be that fast. And then I used to tell them, I said, well, look at the back of it. Oh, it's got three damn cylinder heads on it. Right. Wasn't it so damn fast?
It runs fast because it's got three cylinder heads.
But, yeah, it was, I mean, a lot of good times down there at DeSoto. And the street stock class at that time was top of the line back then. There was a bunch of cars, good drivers, and you really – how many races did you win that last year?
I think we got five or six wins and, you know, rarely ever finished out of the top five, which is what you got to do for a points championship.
Now, do you think
and not only that, Rich or Rick, you know, people may not know, he was coming from the other side of the state to do
this.
Long ride.
We used to talk about that, too.
It was a real long ride, you know, a good three and a half hours one way. And, you know, it's me and my dad and my mom, you know, we wanted to try something different. You know, that's back when, you know, I was driving with my dad and everything. We just wanted to try something different. You know, we did good at Orlando, New Smyrna, and we just wanted to spread out a little bit. So we decided to head over to DeSoto, and, you know, we had good luck over there when we rode over there the first couple races. So we decided to just keep popping back in there. And, you know, we were racing the Olds Cutlass for a while, and then we finally built the Olds Omega, which is like a Nova, a leaf spring car. Because over there they run the Camaros, and that big body car didn't really want to hang with the Camaros too good. So we finally built the Omega, and it did us a lot better, and we finished out the year with that car, you know, and ended up walking away with the championship.
How important do you think it was, though, to your current situation, winning that championship in that street stock?
It came down to the last race. It was a real close run with Chet Roberts. Matter of fact, it was the guy that I was running the points for. You know, it was real close. Come back to, I think I had to finish fifth, just about what it was here in the Goodyear Challenge Series. You know, I had to finish fifth, you know, if he won, and got lucky. He ended up getting in a little tangle there on the second or third lap. And I ended up finishing third anyway. And so it worked out good for us, you know. We've had good luck these past few years, real good luck.
So, Rich, have you and Bobby Sears, have you all talked about upping it and going to super late models, or are you planning to come back in the Goodyear Challenge Series again?
We're going to stay in the Goodyear Series this in 07. I kind of handed it around to him a little bit, you know, you want to move up or whatever, and he doesn't seem like he wants to move up, so, you know, I'm not going to complain. I'm happy where I'm at.
There you go.
We're going to do the Goodyear Challenge Series again next year. You know, maybe get my name out there a little bit more, pick up a couple more sponsors. We got two cars now, so, you know, about halfway through this year, we finished up the second car, got it all ready. So we got two cars, and just try to get my name out there, like I said, and keep finishing up front. Maybe we can get a couple more sponsors and go from there.
How's that youngin' coming along?
Good. He's doing real good.
Cool.
Well, Brad, who's some of the sponsors on your race car, brother?
Definitely Daytona Dodge Chrysler. Randy Dye, got to really thank him. You know, he's with us every race. Gives us money every race. If it wasn't for them guys, you know how expensive it is. Advance Auto Part, Neil over there at Advance. You know, he's been helping out a lot. And Gary Willis, too, is a good friend of Bobby Sears. You know, he's been giving Bobby a little bit of money these past few weeks. And we got him on the side of the car. So I just, you know, every little bit helps. So we're just trying to stay running up front. Maybe we can pick up a couple more next year.
You keep digging, man. I got a feeling you will next year. You'll see things start to blossom out because it's nice to have a sponsor that'll hang in there with you and keep you at a top running level in any series or any track. So you hang in there, make it happen, and we'll look forward to talking to you next year when you do a three-peat.
Congratulations, Rich, and people can keep up with your game at richclauser.com.
Yep.
And we'll talk to you soon, man. Thank you.
All right, guys. I appreciate
Thanks
it.
Thanks a lot, Rich.
Have a good one.
All right, Rich Clouser, man, two in a row.
Another champion. Champions week, I'm telling you.
Well, you know, that's
hey,
the story
got a backup
of a youngster
got driver for
staying at it.
Oh, you know, absolutely.
Like the street stocks, the absolutely. Bombers.
I hope he doesn't go to the super late models. I hope he stays right where he is and keeps doing it. Because you know, he can do it good. You know?
No doubt. All right, we still got Brad sitting with us. Brad, now you're in something interesting. You got a developmental thing going with mental. Developmental. That didn't sound good.
Are we going to call his developer?
We're going to call the developer.
Okay.
Tell us a little bit about that while we get him on the phone.
Well, they're based out of North Carolina. It's Tom Baker and Mike Kalinoff. Mike, he actually spots for David Shermie. They're just it's a development program.
Right, go right ahead.
There's about is Tom? Is Tom?
Because Tom's on.
Hello, Tom.
Tom, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. How are you guys doing?
All right. Tom Baker on the phone with us.
We're very warm.
What?
Yeah, we're a lot warmer than you are.
Tom, we've got Brad with us. What's your
volume
exact...
Volume is very low. Just so you know, guys, I'm having a hard time hearing you. I can hear you, but you're very, very low.
Yeah, we've heard that before, and we're trying to work on that, but just hang in there with us.
Anyway, Tom, what's your official title with Brad?
I'm having a lot of trouble hearing you guys. I apologize for that. I can hear you talking, but I can't make out what you're saying.
Go ahead. Continue, Brad, what you were saying.
Go ahead.
But
I was going to try another.
If there's a way you can get me some additional volume, we can.
We'll go for it.
Yeah, we will do our best.
Okay.
Uh-oh. So how about that? Does that help any?
As long as you speak up, that might be okay.
Okay.
There you go. We'll worry about what we sound like later because I think we're doing okay in rolling.
Tom. What is your official title with Brad right now?
Brad is a member of our Team Full Throttle driver development team, and I'm the founder of Team Full Throttle.
Okay, tell us a little bit about that.
Team Full Throttle actually is an organization that officially got started in early 2005, but it grew out of a second business that I've had over the years of working with, coaching, and mentoring young racers When I started doing that about 15 years ago, of course, I had no idea that we were eventually going to be developing them for NASCAR. I was just trying to help some of the kids out at the go-kart level and the quarter midget level, you know, the grassroots levels, and trying to teach them how to deal with the media and deal with sponsors and teach them some leadership and some communication skills so that it could help them move up into a big car, you know, at a local track, you know, just kind of help them move on to the sport. But it's just grown over the years to the point where when driver development kind of crept into NASCAR, I guess we were a little ahead of the curve without having any way of realizing that we actually were until this past year when I decided to go full time with it and realized that there was a real market for doing such a thing. So Brad is a driver that we came into contact with through his mom, who emailed us, I guess about maybe 3 months ago or so, and talked to us a little bit and explained that situation and sent us a resume. And once I talked with his mom and then had a chance to talk with Brad the first time, we knew right away that he was a good candidate for our program and someone that we really wanted to work with because of what he's accomplished at such a young age and how mature he is.
I wanted to ask, what kind of things do you bring to the table? What kind of things will you be working with him on? He's already got the skills to drive. What kind of other things do you deal with in the picture?
We actually have about 24 kids in the group right now, and forgive me if I'm missing some of the question here because I'm still having a real hard time hearing you, but we've got about 24 kids in the group right now, and we're growing fairly rapidly here. Our kids are, we've got kids from New York to California, if that gives you any idea. So we pretty much are nationwide at this point, and we've got drivers at levels from go-karts on up into, we're real close to signing a couple of drivers to Busch East contracts for 2007. So that's, you know, that's, we have a pretty good program going right now, and it, you know, it's born out of the fact that we feel like our philosophy is a little bit different than some of the other development programs out there. We focus on the driver as opposed to focusing just on building race car drivers. We really focus on building the best kids, and I think that's what really makes the difference, and that's one reason we wanted Brad, because we could see right away that you know, he was, for his age and his experience, he was really as good as it gets, and somebody that we knew had championship talent.
So what kind of itinerary do you put these kids on?
It's a combination of things, actually. Everything from leadership training to some communications training with teaching them how to speak to the media, how to talk to a sponsor, how to understand the business side of the sport. You know, we expect a lot from them in all of those areas. We work really hard with them on priorities and on keeping the grades up and on doing the right things away from the racetrack. We put them on a workout program if they need it. A lot of our kids actually already, for whatever reason, I guess, because in this day and age, you know, it's easy to look at someone like Mark Martin and Carl and realize you have to be physically fit. A lot of our kids, when they come to us, are already in pretty good shape, but we help them with the physical fitness part of it, you know, nutrition if they need it, you know, and really just try to guide them in all areas, and of course help them with the on the track skill development as well. And really, it's an overall management and representation situation where we'll actually sit down with a family and try to develop a career path for the child that the family can afford, but that also makes sense for their location and where they're at, because we find that a lot of times what happens with the young drivers is that the parent will get them into a division where they really don't need to be and spend a whole lot of money and time for not much return in terms of value to an NASCAR team and to get them the right type of experience. So Brad really, you know, Brad's family has done a tremendous job with him, and the open wheel modified that he's driving was excellent experience for him, and now with them moving into a late model, that really positions him very well for a future Busch East opportunity if he can succeed at the late model level.
Now, Tom, do you come down to the tracks when Brad's racing and watch what's going on there, or you just strictly stick to all the other things that are going on outside of it?
Well, actually, what I do is my particular function within the group is to rotate around amongst the drivers.
How
how do you find them the money? How do you find them the money?
A year with each one. And fortunately, Brad and his family are able to move around a little bit. So once they get their late model, we're actually going to bring them up to Hickory Motor Speedway in North Carolina here in the Charlotte area. And Mike Kalinoff, who's my partner in Team Full Throttle and who is currently David Strummy's partner and business manager and has had about 25 years of experience in NASCAR.
Hey, Tom.
A couple levels.
Hey, Tom.
Yes.
How do you find him the money? Tell me how you find him the money.
Well, actually, through a variety of means, but what we do is we provide the proposal for him, and we actually help train them on how to go find the money. So it's a combination of things. We do have some team sponsors that we have accumulated here, but also, you know, we do rely a lot, obviously, on the families to, you know, to go out and do that as well. And what we do is we show them how to do it efficiently, again, starting with people they know, business contacts, and
so what I'm saying is you guys don't actually find the money. What you guys do is you do other stuff so that they can go find the money.
Who finds the money?
Who finds the money?
And really, we cultivate them.
Hey, Tom, who finds the money?
So we can get them a shot eventually.
Hey, Tom.
Bushy's car.
Hey, Tom.
Yes.
Who finds the money? Who in this game finds the money for these guys? Because I'm going to tell you, we interview people all over this country from every level of racing there is, and the one consistent thing that we hear over and over and over, and I've experienced it myself, is it takes money to get in a Craftsman truck. It takes money to get in an ARCA car. It takes money to get in the Hooters Pro Cup. Who in this game finds the money? Who's the best guys out there to find people money?
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, if I knew that, I guess all of our guys would have sponsors. But to say that it takes money to be in Craftsman Truck, it takes money to be here and money to be there, I'm going to disagree with that. I mean, certainly that helps. But unless you're somebody like John Menard, who's willing to literally put the bill to buy your...
Wait a minute, you're going to tell me... Are you telling me...
Paul Menard doesn't deserve...
Whoa, wait. But are you telling me it's not about the money?
We promote them to the teams, so hopefully the teams will give them a test and sign them, and the teams will pay for that. That's really what the goal is.
Hey, Tom, I think where we're trying to see is... how you are different from many others that we've heard about, and there's a lot of folks out there trying to help young drivers across the country, and are not coming through in the end, and we just want to make sure that you know it sounds like you're trying to do that, trying to come through with everything you can, but it is a dollars game in a way for these young kids, especially at the level they're at now. Granted, you got the talent, somebody sees you and gets you into NASCAR, you're going to have the money behind you. But to get to that point, it does take a little cash.
Well, the reality is that it's not just a money game. It's a visibility game. And what we're able to do through our contacts and through being able to go directly to the driver development people from the NASCAR Cup teams and the other teams at the NASCAR level is we're able to expose these drivers directly to the teams. You know, it isn't always about who has the biggest paycheck or who brings a sponsor with them who gets signed. You know, there's teams that sign drivers all the time who bring absolutely zero money to the table. The reality is, what it is a visibility game. Also, it's a matter of who has the best kid. And our off-the-track training, focused on leadership and communications and focusing on the priorities and understanding what it takes to be successful at anything you do, we basically are building the best people, kind of along the same philosophy that somebody like Coach K would do at Duke. You know, we don't just want basketball players. We want the best kids, and then we'll show them how to apply to what they're doing in racing. And that's how we get them to where they want to go, is by exposing them directly to the teams on a regular basis and being able to be at that level and be visible. So that's really how we do that.
Well, Tom, we appreciate you doing that, because we, all of the folks in this room down here and the ones talking to you, we think Brad Bischoff is a good find, and we think he's got a good future in front of him, and we hope he finds the right people to help him along, and he becomes the next David Rudiman from our area.
Well, we're really proud of Brad and really pleased that he chose to come on board with us. He's a great kid. He comes from a really good place, and we appreciate the opportunity to to have, you know, have Brad be on your show and appreciate you guys doing the show and allowing kids like Brad to get some exposure. And we certainly appreciate you having us on. Brad can talk, obviously, about what he's doing. And we're in the process of beginning to work with him now. So over time, he'll have a good website and we'll be able to get his name out even more. But GoTeamFullThrottle.com will be our site, and that's where you're going to find information on Brad and on the other 22 guys that are in our stable at the moment.
Thanks, Tom. We appreciate your time, buddy.
We appreciate it. Have a great night, guys.
You too. Tom Baker. Okay, now let's all catch our breath.
You have to be prepared for that when you're on the show.
My next question is just this, guys, and I want an honest answer. Did you have to put money up to get into this program? No penny, nothing? No. Good.
Good.
Very good. That's what we were worried about. Because a lot of kids out there are putting up cash to go, you've got to have money to get your, signature cards or get your picture cards or whatever. And it's just going by the wayside.
So I have a general rule of thumb, and sometimes, be quite frank about it, pisses people off. But I have two rules of thumb in racing. One, follow the money. And two, when somebody's talking, this is true in any part of life, when somebody's talking fast, slow them down. Doesn't mean fast-talking people are not right, but it's just a rule of thumb I have. That's why I was giving them a hard time.
Well now.
So, Brad, don't let us disillusion
don't get disheartened.
Because okay? I believe you got
because I have, yeah. he has seen many good drivers like you go down the road, and people promise them the world. And they're nowhere now.
Yeah, you want to be at some point. You want to be standing.
And you have
on
potential, brother.
And
you have serious potential.
We talk about this all the time. The guy I work with, we do things sort of along that nature. But at this level of racing, is that we tell people this all the time. The toughest race that you're going to run, especially for young folks, is the race for sponsorship dollars and media recognition. You know, because it's really does what separates. There's a point where it separates, you know, and so you like doing shows like this, do as many of these shows, get on every TV show, every radio show, any kind of media thing you can get on. And
the other thing to keep in mind, too, is if you're not having to put up any money, which is very good for you, at some point he's getting a finder's fee from somebody, or he's not going to work this hard for you. So he's got somebody at the other end that he is fishing you out to, and he's got to sell you to somebody or he doesn't make anything. So that's a good thing, and he'll keep working real hard for you. So don't doubt him for a minute. Now, what do you think of, you know, this kind of a step you're taking in your career, Brad? I mean, you're getting on there and getting out in front of some teams. You may wind up one day, you know, Jack Roush could be on the phone or some weird thing really happened to you, and a good thing. But, I mean, what do you think about all of this? Are you still concentrating on just let's race and worry about that kind of on the back burner, or do you really like the idea of getting a chance?
I mean, getting a chance sounds great, but really, like you said, I'm worried about racing right now. I want to do as best I can at that. That's what they're looking at is me racing, how I present myself at the racetrack and off the racetrack, and that's what I'm concentrating on. I'll let my mom and dad and Tom and Mike take care of getting me in front of people, but until then, I'm concentrating on what they see when they look at me.
Brian, talk to us, buddy. What do you think of this whole process? I mean, did you ever think that when Brad came along and came into your life, did you ever think that this would be one of the things you guys would be working on together?
I never thought it would come to where it is right now. I know the day I brought home the first go-kart and to where we are now, I mean, it just seems like it was yesterday. It's flown by. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. You get out there and compete with Lee Collins and that's
doing good.
That's serious.
You're awesome,
stuff.
Man. And I recognize that back when I saw you in a go-kart and when you moved into other things. I mean, you had the talent, and I knew you did. It's just getting the right breaks and getting the right opportunities as we got to come down the pike.
Hey, Bill, we got to take a quick break.
No kidding. We are, like, way behind on the pay and the bills.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks.
Hope we didn't hurt your feelings.
Let's have a party. We got it cranked up loud enough. Somebody dance.
We'll be right back after these words. Real Racing USA from the Snook River Grill.
Hi, this is Rick Bristol, driver of the number 30 Toyota Industrial Equipment Florida Lift System, Southern States Toyota Lift Truck. And you're listening to Real Racing USA.
Dayton Andrews Dodge is closing out 2006 in racer-friendly style. Dayton Andrews Dodge on the corner of 22nd Avenue and 34th Street in St. Petersburg, just off I-75, is offering great racer specials for the end-of-year savings. Buy now any new or used car, truck, or van at Dayton Andrews Dodge and tell them you heard it here on Short Track America. They'll send $500 of your racer special deal to Sprint Car driver Greg Leonard and his wife Vera for the David Leonard Foundation. Looking to help racers in need? That's your racer-friendly Dayton Andrews Dodge five-star dealership. Dayton Andrews Dodge, corner of 22nd Avenue, 34th Street North in St. Petersburg. It's the little drive that saves a lot and gives a little more. 727-321-0500, the number to call for Taylor Andrews at Dayton Andrews Dodge. Tell them Short Track America sent you.
Evergreen Development Construction Company is more than just a land clearing business. They help you from site inspection to blueprint design and construction. C.J. Carberry and the Evergreen crew guarantee your satisfaction in every aspect of site preparation and facility construction. Call Evergreen Development Construction Company in Tampa at 813-202-8008. That's 813-202-8008. Or give them a shout at 813-478-8847. Evergreen Development and Construction Company, the only company you'll have to call. Evergreen.
Have you or someone you know experienced injury or death caused by someone else? Then the number you need to call is 1-800-332-1992. That's the number for Q Auto and Injury Attorneys. Leonard A. McHugh and Associates can help you achieve the justice you deserve. You've seen Leonard McHugh racing in the Parts Truck Series, and Q Auto and Injury Attorneys have sponsored racing divisions at tracks across Florida. Trust your case to the sponsors of the Q Motorsports Family Student Racer Scholarship Program. And Q Auto and Injury Attorneys don't just handle injuries resulting from motor vehicle accidents, they also handle all types of injuries. So whether you've been injured as the result of a defective product, a motorcycle accident, poor medical treatment, poor nursing care, or of course an automobile accident, give the Q Auto and Injury Attorneys a call at 1-800-332-1992. Remember, if you or someone you know experienced injury or death caused by someone else, call McHugh or call for more information about the Q Motorsport Family Student Racer Scholarship Program. 1-800-332-1992. Q Auto and Injury Attorneys.
Bill, you pissing off another guest?
No, I'm not pissing off anybody. I'm just trying to make sure everybody's happy, happy, happy.
Welcome back to Real Racing USA at the Snook River Grill.
Snook River Grill in Brayton, Florida. Welcome back to Real Racing USA.
I didn't even know that was there.
It did that to me the last one.
Oh, did it? Oh, yeah. I didn't hear it. Hey, we got lots of things happening here. We're going to go right to the man himself. Well, man himself. Listen, he's still a kid almost, but no, B.J. McLeod.
No, I interviewed him a couple weeks ago.
No.
He's
no.
Not a kid
BJ
anymore.
Not a kid.
I know, but when we saw him first, what, 7 years ago?
B.J. McLeod, how you doing, man?
All right, how you doing?
We're doing good.
Can you hear us? Can you hear me?
Sir?
Can you hear me, B.J.?
Yes, I can hear you.
Right. Oh, good. Must have been them North Carolina phones.
Yeah, I'm on the
cell phone right now. Problem.
No, you're fine, man. So, Bright House champion, the first one.
Yeah, we had a pretty good year, and we got that car figured out. Schofield been helping me. Me and Dad went up there and tested. And, we got the thing together, and that car has been pretty much untouchable.
And, you know, it's a long way from two championships at those two tracks when you were 14 years old, man. Long.
Yeah, I know. It's been a while since I won a championship. I didn't even realize how long it had been.
Yeah.
But 1998 was the last time I won a championship. I had a chance in 99. I could have won the Southern All-Star Championship. I won rookie, but we blew a right front tire at Birmingham and took us out of it.
That's right.
And
wow.
Then in Orlando in 03, I had one, and I got wrecked the first lap of it. Feet the last feature that I needed to just finish eighth in, and that wiped me out of that one.
Yeah, for fans who may not be aware, B.J. McLeod, when he was 14 years old, you're 21 now, right, B.J.?
I'm turning 23 Friday.
Oh, 23, I'm 23. Sorry. Okay, so,
come on, Jackie, I know you want to keep him young as long
so,
as you
so
can.
When he was 14 years old, he kind of set a trend in Florida racing for youngsters because he went to Orlando Speed World and New Smyrna Speedway, and in the same year won the Super Late Model Championship.
Exactly.
Against David
Rogers.
David Rogers and all them kind of guys, man. Pretty amazing.
Now, whose shop are you standing in tonight?
Oh, I'm up here at Dick Anderson's shop. We're going over to the car, getting ready. Going to go practice probably Friday or so.
Now, is that
and,
some of
we went and tested last week on Thursday, and it's looking pretty good.
Is that some of the help you got in those early years when you were starting out?
He was racing against him.
Dick's always been there for me. He actually helped me back in 01. I wasn't running that well, and I went over to him, and he gave me his whole setup sheet. And I was pretty impressed. He just let me have it. It helped me a lot, helped me get back on track.
Dick's been doing that a lot lately, helping a lot of folks out. That's pretty cool. But, I mean, you are doing, you know, just awesome here at the end of the year. Is there been something happen in the middle of this year, though? But, I mean, you had a lot of things going on and a lot of problems, and then suddenly you're back on track and back on top.
Yeah. Well, last year, Schofield come to me talking about Jeff Schofield, and he come to me in October, and he said, let me help you, you know, get some stuff figured out. And I said, well, I got something going right now. Let me just see if I can get it done. And if I need your help, I'll come get you. Because I've known Jeff since I was, I think, seven or eight years old. And he come to me and right before the Lakeland race at, I think it was in July. And he said, let me do a set of shocks for you. I said, all right. And he went and did a set of shocks for me. We went to Lakeland. And I could have been up front. We were running fifth. And got spun out some way. I can't remember. Somebody hit me and turned me around, but we got spun out.
Robert Yoho?
No, it wasn't him, but there was something went on. I can't remember now, but anyway, we still ended up finishing fifth. We come back to fifth, and the next race I won, and I've won the next three after that, not counting one at DeSoto that I finished third at. And really, I didn't have the right shocks on my car, and he helped me get that, and he gave me his whole setup sheet and trailing arm angles, panhard bar, wedge, everything that you can do to it. And I went and copied it on another car that I have, which is exactly like the one he's running. And we went to the track, and that's when I started winning.
Well, now I got to ask
me
you.
Me and Dad went up there for a day and tested and just did some real fine tuning to it. And it was awesome.
I got to ask you, though, it seems to be that those little bitty things, such as shocks, are becoming so important in late model racing. Everybody's got the same kind of horsepower and motors, and crate late models are coming online in a lot of places. How do you figure out the little bitty idiosyncrasies that you need to take care of to make that extra tenth of a second or two tenths?
Basically seat time and just going to the track and learning. We went with, like I said, I've been working with Schofield. I've actually been going and helping him just, you know, just so I can be around at practice and see what he changes and stuff. And now I'm working with Dick, too. And it just, I mean, it helps me. You just got to be at the track. I mean, you got to be there whether you're racing or not. Stay on top of it, because if you're going for a month, it changes so much, it's not even funny. You know, back 5-6 years ago, everybody was running conventional stuff, and the shocks weren't that big a deal. I mean, they still, you know, you still had to have the right set, but now you can take one click of rebound out of the left front on an adjustable Penske and lose 0.2 of a second. And that's where we're at now. I mean, it's just this real temperamental because we're all on a big bar soft spring deal, you know?
Wow, that's amazing.
So BJ, in 1998, you came in second in the Governor's Cup. We talked about that earlier. That was the year that Billy Bigley won it, and you came in second. I think Pete Orr, who you worked with quite a bit, came in behind you in third. How are you looking for this year, for this year's Cup run?
Well, I'm looking to win, to be honest with you. We got a real good car. Dick's got an awesome car. We went and tested Thursday. It's an awesome race car. We should qualify top three, top five, no problem. And we need some luck on our side, and we get through the pit stops and keep our nose clean. We're going to have a good shot. I mean, there's four or five people that are going to be, you know, up there that can win and are going to be awesome, and I think we're one of them.
There you go.
That's got to be really comfortable, BJ, being in Dickie's car. Now, going back to DeSoto, that third-place finish, I interviewed you in the winner's circle, and it was almost as good as a win, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, we run good. We actually took that car. I was mad because of how bad I got beat. I mean, I know we finished third, but Chiquette made me look like I was sitting still, and not taking nothing from him. He did good, and he drove hard, and I just got beat. And when he drove in there, I thought I'd drove in the corner hard, and he drove in wheel-to-wheel with me. I said, oh, I'll just lift off. I let him pull down, and I let Jefferson go. And I told Dad, I said, this thing's just dragging too bad in the center of the corner. So we unloaded it at New Smyrna, redid the roll center on the front, changed it around this last week, and we actually got it as fast as the Ford at New Smyrna. So I'm looking forward to the last race down there.
Going to show Cat now, you know, back when you were the young upstart coming into this deal and all that, you know, people knew you from asphalt racing with the smaller late models and stuff. What was it like seeing show Cat just bam onto the scene and there he was?
Oh, he's done real good. I mean, he come out. See, I come from go-karts to super late models, you know. I don't know what he did before the late models, but he was in dirt late models, and he was winning. But from what I hear, he was winning all the time in them. And he come over to asphalt. You know, I pulled into the Southern and had no clue who he was. I think October of 04. And then all of a sudden, he wins the Governor's Cup and wins every big race there is for like 8 or 9 races. And I mean, he kick and drive. I mean, there's no doubt about it. He's a good driver. And you know that his dad, Bob, set that car up pretty good for him, you know.
Well, now we're going to talk to Jeff a little bit later, we hope. And what are some of the things that you remember about racing against him as he came up in the ranks, so to speak, and you guys got the chance to go wheel to wheel?
Well, to be honest with you, until this last weekend, he's beat me pretty much every time we run. I outrun him one time at Lakeland. I think I had a better car. And other than that, I haven't really got to race with him. That's what I told him this last weekend. I said, man, I want to race with you because I hadn't had a chance, you know. And he's a good driver. And I want to beat him because I'm competitive. I mean, it's not, you know, me and Schofield are friends. When we get on the track, we both want to beat one another. I mean, it's not, we don't leave nothing out there. And I'm the same way with Jeff or anybody else. I just want to win. I mean, I'm not thinking about money or trophy or none of that. I just want to outrun him. And that, I told him Saturday, I said, man, I'm going to outrun him. I was just messing with him, you know. And I mean, he's fun to joke around with and have a good time with. And we had a good time Saturday. We didn't really have a chance to race that hard because he was only behind me one caution and it was only a 50-lap race, but I'm sure this weekend's going to be tough.
Well, we know we are looking forward to seeing this Governor's Cup. We're all going to be there. We're all going to be rooting you on and rooting for everybody to have a great race because they usually are some of the best races down in the late models in Florida at all. I mean, the Governor's Cup carries so much prestige. How it gets awful nerve-wracking, I'm sure, for you guys. But we appreciate you taking time to stop by with us tonight, and we'll hopefully be talking to you in the winner's circle come Governor's Cup.
We'll see you Saturday, right, BJ.
What'd you say, Jack?
Well, I said we'll see you Saturday, man.
All right, man. Well, if we can make it to the last 50 laps and everything's still clean, it's going to be fun. I promise you that.
All right.
All right, BJ McLeod, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see him at the Governor's Cup. You will, too. And we will look forward to that.
On to Outlaw Modifieds, the fastest four cylinders in Florida racing. Rick Mills.
These are cool cars.
Absolutely.
Rick Mills came from racing dragsters to stock cars a year ago?
Yes, about a year and a half ago. Started with Outlaw Modifieds.
Would you wake up on the wrong side of the bed or something? How did that all happen?
You went to the races and you saw them.
I started dating somebody and kind of led them one thing to another.
Gotcha.
My fiance's father got me into it. I blame him for it.
Okay. So you started in this. Tell us a little bit about your deal so far.
Could have been worse. About 3 years ago, we started dating. A couple years ago, I started going to races with her, watch her dad, and decide, hey, I got to have one of these. I used to race go-karts all over the state. In 92, I was regional champion for Florida and shifter karts. Got into this, bunch of good people. Everybody's nice. Everybody helps everybody. It's all family-orientated, so bunch of good people.
It's very cool.
You want to know the really cool thing about that class? Is all the racetracks love bringing you guys in.
Yes. You're one of the few traveling series that the tracks all...
Yeah, nobody
absolutely
complains.
I mean, we love you.
We all have fun. We help each other. I mean...
What's the purse like? What do you win if you win the race?
That we could help a little bit with, but, you know, we get... it's like when you get $250.
Okay.
So our purses aren't
$250.
The greatest.
Well, yeah, but that's... These guys race their asses off.
I understand.
That's what I'm saying.
In a 25-lap race, sometimes you could... I've seen races where they've swapped the lead 5, 6, 7, 8
times. Our
points season
this year. Our points race this year is real close, going into the last race, which is going to be at Citrus this year.
My whole point there was that's why they like bringing you in.
I'm Dave.
Oh, thanks.
No doubt.
And your name is?
Matt,
get real close
there.
Yeah,
there you go.
He turned his head. He forgot to take the microphone with him.
Delaney.
Delaney. And this is your second year in the Outlaw Modifieds. How you doing? You said something about a sophomore jinx. What's that about?
Yeah, we haven't had too great of a second year.
How'd your first year go first, then?
Had rookie of the year, 7 top tens.
Cool. And, well, have you torn up any cars this year?
Yeah, a couple times.
Oh, I see. I see.
How many sponsors you got? You got people to help put them back together pretty quick?
Got electric motors, hose and hydraulics.
You can't run an electric motor.
Hose and hydraulics. Now, that name's.
Hose and hydraulics. Some more tracks familiar. This year, right?
Yeah, this year we raced in Charlotte County, DeSoto, Orlando a few times. We're going to Citrus.
Yeah.
And Arbordale once this year.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's fun to travel different tracks.
Yeah, because for a long time it was only two tracks, DeSoto and it's a couple tracks.
Charlotte and Arbordale. Yeah. Now we travel around. It's a lot of fun.
Were you guys racing when they did Hialeah? They were one of those.
Yeah, I raced down there once a couple years ago when I first got into it.
Yeah.
That was a good track.
It's a great little series. Tell everybody out there who might, some people haven't seen these cars.
They have a clue sometimes.
What are these cars? I mean, what are they?
Basically, they're homemade. They're modified. We run 4-cylinder. They call them Pinto motors, but some people run Toyotas. Some people run a Nissan. They're doing developmental for a Neon motor in the next couple of years. So it's modified. The rules are on there. Outlawmodified.com is our website.
Stand by. We've got somebody calling us.
That's right. Don't let that guy interrupt.
Probably Brigham.
I know who that is.
Probably Brigham.
That's Brigham. No doubt.
He's early. He's early. Go ahead. Continue.
All right.
And what do you got invested in one of those cars?
Anywhere from $45,000 to $12,000.
Stand by.
There's used cars out there. Like I say, everybody's got used parts. It's what you want to spend, how fast, how pretty you want to look. Tires cost us $110 a piece. You can go a few races, 2 to 4 races, depending on how hard you run them. Right rears we go through a little more than right sides. We run quick changes. They're pretty reliable cars. I mean, we don't tear up much.
What is it a lot to set up for all these different tracks?
You change
the prop.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Oh. We change a little bit. You change some stagger and some cross a little bit here and there. Other than that, 15 minutes. Routine maintenance at home for, during the week and load it back up and go play.
Excuse me, Rick. I think we
have a brief message from our technical staff.
The,
please turn your computer down in the background.
Yes, we have somebody from the East Coast, I think, who wants to ask some questions about the series.
Real Racing USA, you're on the air.
Yeah, I've got a question. Who runs that thing?
I think a guy named Steve Brigham from Fort Pierce does.
What do you think about him?
Fort Pierce, that's
a pretty nice guy now he's on the phone.
That's a long haul.
I tell you what, I don't run it. The guys run it. It's kind of like herding chickens. They do a great job. I couldn't ask for a better group of racers to work with.
Herding chickens?
they are just super. I mean,
is Bobby Dillon?
Are you the rooster or the hen?
One of the reasons I think Lexus is because we take care of our own. We do our own lineups. We do our own. Our own tech. We run in there. All we ask for is give us 6 minutes, guys. And that's generally what our features last if we don't have any wrecks or cautions. The cars are fast. The guys behave themselves. They're true gentlemen out there racing. And it's a great series. I've really enjoyed my time with them. I've been doing it for 11 years. Running the series for the last 6, they are just super. I can't say enough about how they show up. They show up ready to run. I don't have a lot of crybabies, if you can consider that in racing.
Quick question. I got a question for you, and that is we just talked about the purse, and that's why a lot of the tracks like to have you there. You're not an expensive ticket to bring in. How can we creep that up without pricing yourself out of business?
Well, it's one of the things I work on every year, trying to get a little bit more money out of the tracks. The next year, the tracks have agreed to step up the purse a little bit. We should be getting $250 to win and paying $50 a car all the way on back. But you have to realize that, the traveling series, you heard it last week, the traveling series, the tracks say, hey, what do they really bring us? And what we try and do is we try and bring a family atmosphere. We try and bring guys that behave themselves. We get in, we get out, and we supply a good package.
Steve, we know that you're one of the best best leaders of these traveling series in Florida. You know how we know that?
How do you know that?
Because you listen to our show every week.
That's right. and you're still traveling.
I try. You know, speaking of traveling series, surprising thing about the Outlaw Modifieds, we are the oldest continuous racing series in the state of Florida. We're into our 25th year. We've had several different names, the old Pro Four of Florida's, the Outlaw Modifieds. But we have been racing every year underneath this with the same set of rules, basically the same set of rules, for almost 25 years. And there's not a lot of other series out there that can do that.
Well, they weren't called the TBRA, but they've been around a while.
Pardon me?
They weren't called the TBARA, the Wing Sprints, but they've been around a long time.
What's that guys doing?
Actually, we beat them by a few years. We actually started, this series actually started by a group of people, Kenny Kincaid, Dana Barlow. These are old names that go way back in the mini stock world. This group was actually started by them to race against what's known as the Pro Fours of New England many, many years ago. And the series kind of hung out down at Hialeah. Hialeah was its home track for many, many years. Six, seven, eight cars would race. We turned into what we called the Dirty Dozen in about 1992 or so. Craig Schirrer, who still races with us, we have many of the same members that started a long time ago. Craig Schirrer was our race director. He turned it over to Paul Petrie, who had Ocala Speedway, as you all know. And Paul's greatest fame to our group was he said, hey, you guys look like the rest of the modifieds out there. You need to do something different. I know we'll take the roofs off and call y'all Outlaw Modifieds. Well, that was Paul's help to us. He turned the series over to Richard Houston, who did a great job running it for 5 years, and we were starting to average 16 to 17 cars. In 2000, I took the group over, and we increased the car count. We've probably averaged, we've been as high as 24 cars, and we probably averaged in the neighborhood of 18, 19 cars for the last 6 years,
which is
not bad for a traveling series that pays $200 to win.
Steve, we have a question for Rick here. How hard is it to drive these cars? I mean, you're coming from no background in stock car racing.
None at all.
How hard was it to learn to drive these cars?
Took me a while to learn to feel. I mean, that was my biggest thing. You know, my girlfriend's father helps me all the time.
Right.
He gets aggravated because I'll say one thing, and to him that means something totally different.
Yeah.
You know, till I got the feel of it, out to lunch.
Right. Now, did Rick tell you that his soon-to-be father-in-law is Raymond Super Frog Jones?
No,
no way.
I don't think he told.
You should know that. You announce it.
I know.
I don't think he told us that.
Yeah, that's, you know, and Super Frog's been around.
That's
for
an unfair
long,
advantage.
Long time and raced many, many
Not
series.
Not really. We don't communicate well because I say one thing, it means something different to him.
Right. Track champion at several endeavors that he's been at. You know, and he's kind of found a home here in the Outlaw Modifieds. One, because we're fast. There's no doubt about it. We are fast. If you check our times against the late models and the VA modifieds, we're right there. And
didn't Raymond sell his car before and then backed it in the wall?
No. The late models?
No. This car. He retired. He was done. He wasn't going to race anymore.
He was going to sell them, and he gets irritated and we go back racing again. He's still got two cars. He built him a new motor. We'll be out at DeSoto this weekend playing.
Now, Matt Delaney, you were the 2005 Rookie of the Year. How many years have you? This is your second year. Did you race stock cars before this?
Before, about 3 years prior, I raced go karts.
Go karts, and then you went from go karts to the Outlaw Modifieds.
Yes.
How hard of an adjustment was for you to get around the track with them?
Still trying to figure it out.
Well, you must have figured something out last year if you were the rookie.
Yeah, last year you did fine. This year you've started having a problem. What's the deal?
I mean, what's the deal?
He didn't want an answer to that.
We've had three or four people come from go-kart racing to this.
Yeah, oh yeah. I'm sure they think it's going to transfer easily because it's the open wheel kind of thing, and they're used to that.
Yeah. It's a big go-kart with shocks,
a little bit of setup. Yeah, different roll center. We go quite a bit faster, obviously.
A roll center is about 8 inches higher.
Yeah, yeah.
So you, like when you go through the turns, like say down in Charlotte County, do you slide through them turns?
Yeah, sometimes. Other than that, we hook and go. We got 10-inch tires on all four of them. Yeah. It's a compound class. We all have the same tires on it, all the same compound, all Hoosier tires.
How are you guys keeping it affordable out there? I mean, I'm asking this to your
Steve.
President, Steve.
The way we keep it affordable is because I don't let them come to me and say, you know, we really need, you know, we could do this if we had. Our motor rule has not changed in 8 years.
Thank you. Please.
Okay, tell me a series that has done that. Our motor rule has not. The last thing we allowed in the way of speed parts was to go to rods. That was it. Although we did allow, excuse me, I take that back, we allowed the aluminum head from Esslinger, who sponsors our series this year, by the way. Thank you, Esslinger Engineering. We allowed the aluminum head that they put together, and we allowed that this year with a 58% maximum left side weight. The head did very well. It proved to be very reliable, which was what we were looking for, and easily obtainable. The motors that we run, the Ford 2.3 liters, as you know, they were very prolific. There are a number of them out there, but they did go through some head changes, and heads were starting to be difficult to find and expensive to have done. And Esslinger stepped up to the plate with their deep port aluminum head and offered us a program that allowed us to replace those heads at a very affordable rate. And we ran some of them this year, and we found that while the heads were reliable, the 58% actually put a handicap on them. So in 2007, we're going to allow the aluminum head with the 60% left side weight like the rest of the cars run. But I think that's only going to be a reliability factor. They did not proved to be, you know, a speed demon.
One more question for Rick here. Rick, how long can you last on the tires and so forth? Can you make it affordable in the sense that things will last a little longer with these cars?
Yeah, sure. Depending on how hard you run it, we go a couple races on a set of tires. Right sides you go through. Right rears we seem to go through more. You know, some people go up to four races on a set of tires.
Yep.
Others, others got bigger sponsors. You know, a lot of us need sponsorship out there. Yep. You know, like me, I don't have nobody. I funded out of myself. So
right.
I got Tom Baker's phone number.
That's right. But Tom Baker, we can put you in the.
Yep. I'm a little for developmental, probably.
Put you in the program. I don't know if it's AA.
Steve,
or
you had 19 races scheduled last season. One of those were canceled. The July 1st race. Is there a plan to add any more races for next season?
Our whole business model, let's call it, is to race the first and third Saturday of every month. If we get a rain out, we lose the race. That gives us a schedule of about 20 races. Again, the business model for this thing was to make it affordable, make it so that you weren't constantly worrying about the race car, allow you to spend time with your family, and come out racing twice a month. And
thank you.
That's it. We have 20 races scheduled next year at four different tracks. We have a confirmed schedule. Here it is, 1st of November. We have a confirmed schedule for next year. First and third Saturday, if we get rained out, it's gone. That allows people that have working, let's call them spouses, significant others, to be able to set a schedule and know that's when we're going racing. They don't have to ask for extra time off because we want these teams together. We don't want mama left at home. We don't want the family left at home to do a makeup race. If you walk through our pits and look at who's racing, it's all family. We've had father-son teams, with two different cars. We've had, father, son, mother, sisters.
Steve,
the Steinmans are a great example.
Steve, we love you, buddy, but we're running low on time.
Steve, real quick, just got a phone call off the air, and John Sapricone would like to thank you as being the best series, the easiest to work with that he has at DeSoto all year. And that's John Sapricone talking.
We appreciate that. Tell John we appreciate that very much. He's one of our favorite tracks to run at. He's always treated us fairly. We enjoy racing at his facility.
I know when we have our meetings, you know, talking about races we're going to bring in and stuff, you guys are right there at the top of the list.
Yep. Well, we appreciate that. And we hope we bring a good package.
All right, man.
Quit it.
Hey, Steve, thanks a lot for being on the show. Rick
right,
and Matt.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate
and,
you guys.
I want to thank my guys that showed up tonight. I appreciate it very much for the support, fellas.
You owe them.
Thanks, Steve, for all your
help. Thanks, Steve. Buy y'all a drink.
All right.
Thanks, man.
How about 300 to win?
There you go.
So, you're gonna be next year, same.
Oh yeah, ready to go next year. Got me a new motor bill. I'm ready to go. Yeah.
How much does it cost for one of these cars? I mean, to get
like
going.
I can say there's used cars out there for 45 to 65, up to 12,000. You know, $4,500 will get you racing every day with us.
And the website for a lot more information about the Outlaw Modifieds, you go to outlawmodified.com or .org.
.com.
It's outlawmodified.com.
You don't own that one.
Yeah, that's right. I used to. And speedimages.net has videos and lots of photographs of the last races that that were
we
at
got a
good deal.
Right. I was looking the other day. Fathertime.com is available.
All right, guys.
Hey, you didn't buy it?
Thanks Rick for having
Matt.
Us. Thanks. We do appreciate it.
We appreciate you guys being on.
After these messages, we'll be right back with the gunslinger, Jeff Showcat. Don't move.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Underwear Inspector Number 12.
Mr. Underwear Inspector Number 12.
Whether it be tidy whiteys or banana hammocks, you're the one who makes sure our skivvies cut the mustard.
Riding high.
You make sure the door is fastened with secure seams so that the cow doesn't get out of the barn when it shouldn't.
Don't let it out.
Dedicating yourself to a craft others might poo-poo, you can pass every single man on the street and say with pride, "You there, you're wearing my underpants."
Oh, yeah.
And no, I don't want them back. So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, Eagle Eyes, because we're all glad you've got your hands in our shorts.
Change America.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
You're listening to Real Racing USA, real race talk radio at light speed.
But this family right now needs, first of all, a lot of prayers and support. And it's a unique disease. It's a form of leukemia. It's going to be at Orlando Speed World. It's going to be December 8th and 9th, and it's a unique deal. Nobody's ever done one. It's a 200-lap truck race, and that's what I want. I want it to be run professional, fair, but in the end, everybody has a good time, and the family benefits. And it's basically it. We're going to have mini cup races, legend cars, and we're going to have the big truck race. But the neat thing on Friday night is we're going to have first-round qualifying for the trucks. Then we're going to run a mini cups, junior mini cups, the mini cup, you know, adult guy. And then we're going to have barbecue and music and a celebrity auction. It's going to be at Orlando Speed World. It's going to be December 8th and 9th. And it's a unique deal. Nobody's ever done one. It's a 200-lap truck race.
Show ever.
Hey, that's Jack's favorite intro right there. Welcome back to Real Racing USA, coming at you live from the Snook River Grill, 2505 Manatee Avenue East in Bradenton, Florida, southern Tampa Bay. We got sitting at the hot seat right now, Dean Buttram, 2006 mini stock champion. That's back to back, right, bro?
Yes. Back-to-back won it last
night
year.
Of champions,
man.
Night of champions,
no doubt.
A bunch of people going back.
You're gonna expand a little this weekend. You're going to go up to New Smyrna and run that 100-lapper in the Florida Mini Stock Challenge.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to take our mini stock up there and see if we can run with those guys. It's a big step up, but we're going to try it.
So you're going to run the 32 up there?
The new 32.
The new 32. Cause that
the borrowed 32.
That old one's hurt still, isn't it?
Yeah, she ain't happy. But we're since I got rid of the mini stocks at DeSoto for next year, we're going to try to boost it up if we can maybe run a mini stock challenge next year.
So what preparations are you making for a 100-lap race at a half-mile racetrack?
New tires. I learned that this weekend at DeSoto. so we're just going to see if we can hang on with those. It's a big race. We ran it up there before. I haven't. I was crew chief for Jesse when he ran it up there and did pretty good. Came out with a top five finish up there, and we're gonna try it. We'll see how it works.
Having Jesse Dutilli on board's got to be a big help for you, though.
Oh, yeah. Jesse's a good guy. He's very smart, and couldn't have done it without him the last 2 years. I mean, he gave me a good opportunity this year to go back and win another one, and I think the class will stay around if I move up, so that's what we're going to try to do.
So basically, the car that you're running this weekend, though, is basically a mini stock.
It's a stock mini, like a bomber mini stock.
Right.
If you go to Citrus, it would be a bomber mini stock, but those guys are full-frame chassis mod minis. But we'll see what we can do with them.
I mean, it is 100 laps. It's a lot of laps for a four-banger to be going around a half-mile track.
Hey, guess what, guys? I got a great feed here, and we have the man himself, the gunslinger, as I called him when he first arrived at East Bay and started tossing the dirt around. But Jeff Choquette, how you doing, buddy?
How's it going, guys?
We're having a blast. Now, you're down at the shop. I had to track you down, and it seems that you're working and you're doing some things, getting ready for what would be, I guess, your Governor Cup car?
Yeah, we're trying to make sure we got all our ducks in a row, so when we go there, you know, we can have the best outing that possible, and just make sure, you know, everything's good to go and we don't have no failures.
Now, Jeff, earlier this season, I mean, you were absolutely unstoppable in the All-American Challenge Series. You and that car were just one in the same. It was win after win. You were going for the third win in a row in that car. You and Yoho got tangled up, and you told me that losing that race car was like losing your best friend.
Oh, it was devastating. I mean, that car we can make the smallest little changes, and if we needed just, you know, it was just a little tight in the middle. We made a little bit of change in it, and it fixed that. And we've been struggling lately, but we got back to the point lead, and hopefully we can maintain, you know, the point lead over there after the Governor's Cup, and maybe end the year on a good note. But losing that car, that was definitely a bad thing because it was such a good race car.
You've been on dirt lately?
No, actually I haven't. I mean, kind of a sad thing, but I heard Clueston's getting going, so hopefully if they get going in here, maybe, you know, in the next year, into 07, we'll see. Maybe go get a dirt car and go run a little bit, and then maybe I'll make my way back over to East Bay.
Yeah, get your edge back.
Yeah, I was gonna.
He's got his edge, brother.
A couple of things I wanted to cover with you, Jeff, was two things. One being, and I'll do it first, and you can answer it. When you went to the Roush Gong Show and you did that, it's been almost a year, I think, since you were picked to do that. What's that year been like since? Has it made any major changes in the way you're doing things, or was it a great experience and you went on from there?
It was a good experience. I mean, you definitely, you can't go up there, I mean, be chosen for something like that and then come out of that and say, you know, it's a bad experience. It was definitely a good experience. I just, you know, I guess, you know, by me being on asphalt for, you know, not so long, I guess team owners kind of either overlooked me or, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on in NASCAR right now. So it was definitely a good experience, a lot of fun. I mean, you get to go up there and see, you know, how a NASCAR team works, and you get to go inside their garages, and you're just like, wow, you know, you can eat off the floor in this place. And you go in some of the garages down here and some of the Super Le Mans garages, and you're like, you know, it's a big difference. But it was definitely a good experience, but it changed some of the things that I'm doing now. I mean, next year we might make our way up to North Carolina, or might go run a couple of ASA races, still kind of up in the air, and see what happens.
Hey, now my second question has to do with you and your first arrival at East Bay Raceway Park when you came to the dirt. You were racing, I believe, across the state, doing some running. What brought you that far across the state to race at East Bay Raceway Park? What was it that you would be willing to drive that far and put forth the effort to go that far to race on a regular basis?
Well, you just hear so much stuff about, because East Bay has the Winter Nationals, and some of the guys would always come over from East Bay to Thundercroft in Okeechobee, where my local track was, and and they would always run well, and you're like, wow, you know, well, let's kind of start making our way over there and see how we can do. And when I went over there, I think it was the first probably 10 races, I got my butt kicked. I mean, it was terrible. And it was kind of motivation for us. You know, my dad, we all sat down and like, you know, what do we do? And we're like, you know, we're going to keep going back until we figure this place out. And we kept going back and going back and going back. And then shortly, you know, we got on a streak there at one time where we won 5 in a row. And over there, anybody that goes and watches one of them races, they always know if, you know, you win, you got to start almost in the back of a 22-car field and 25 laps. That's almost a car a lap. But it was more motivation when we made our way over there. And it's just all the competition and stuff is what kind of brought us that way.
Now, you had that success at East Bay and stuff. Did you realize when you won the Governor's Cup how much that meant to people in this state?
I honestly didn't. I mean, it was my first time being in New Smyrna, and I was out front leading, and you know, some guys come on the radio, like my engine builder come on the radio, and he was, because the best thing about racing then that I liked is I didn't know anybody. I didn't know, you know, Mike Fritz or Wayne Anderson, and you know, I didn't know. I was just out there running my race. And some of the things that's kind of hurt us now is, you know, I know who these guys are and I know that they're fast. But when I won the Governor's Cup, I had no idea what it was. It was kind of just another race to me. And then, you know, you see all the articles in the newspaper and you're kind of like, wow, you know, it kind of is a big race.
Wow, it is kind of a big race.
It is a big race.
Yeah, did they treat you any different after that race, after you'd won it? Were they rougher on you because you didn't, you know, you hadn't paid your dues, so to speak, and you won it? Or were they, you know, come around and talk to you a little more because you had won that race and it meant that you were somebody?
I don't think that they were any rougher on me. I mean, everybody has their own opinion. But I think it was because the first race I ever won on asphalt was in DeSoto. And then we went to New Smyrna, and like the last 5 races that I raced at the end of 2004 were at New Smyrna, and we won five in a row. I think it was one of them was at the beginning of 2005, and I think after that, I mean, I don't know if it was, you know, me kind of being a little bit aggressive, or if it was, you know, them people starting to get aggravated. You know, hey, who's this new kid on the block? What's he? You know, he's coming in here and winning. He's cheating. You know, coming here beating guys like Wayne Anderson and stuff, and Mike Fritz. And I think after, it wasn't just the Governor's Cup, but a couple of races after that I won at New Smyrna, that's when things started getting a little rougher. But like I said, everybody's got their own opinion. And, you know, I don't know if it was just me winning or, you know, me, myself getting a little bit rougher.
Well, now, I know at DeSoto, when you and Jeff Schofield are going at it, people are on their feet. You and Jeff, I mean, you guys put on a show.
The talking about the Triple Crown?
No, the whole time when you and Schofield race each other.
Anytime.
Oh. Yeah, we've had a couple run-ins and you know, we're both racers and we've apologized to each other and now we raced, you know, here the past couple races we raced a lot better and you know, he's a good racer. He, you know, he's always up front. You can always count on him to win. And, you know, me and him and a couple other guys can always put on a good show.
Hey, Jeff, when you came in and won the Governor's Cup, you know, you didn't surprise me all that much because I'd been, of course, following you from Thundercross, East Bay, and like that. But, you know, you shocked most people in this state, particularly anybody in asphalt. You shocked these people. And then you went in, I think you won the Pete Orr race. And like you said, you run a bunch of those races there. And the thing was is that at that particular time, I don't know if you realize this or not, but you brought a whole new look to this whole to the super late model racing game in Florida, and you changed the tables a bit.
Yeah, there's no doubt, because people were looking at it as it was a Wayne Anderson's
That's right.
playground for years, between the two Andersons, actually. And a lot of folks tried to break through and do things, and they just couldn't get it done. And here comes this very talented young man who you said
driving sideways through
yeah,
turn
and
four.
That's what I was fixing to say, because you referred to yourself as sort of or kind of aggressive. They felt you were highly aggressive, but you got the job done. And that's what kind of brought you to the forefront. And that kind of attitude of go and get it, give it everything I got every lap has held you in good stead, not only with the drivers, but also with the fans. They will drive across the state to see you.
Yeah, I can, you know, definitely vouch for that. Things in Florida have picked up a lot. And I remember back in DeSoto, even last year, throughout the whole year, if you went, you know, the qualifying time down there is, you know, around a 1440 to 1450. And I remember even when Jeff Schofield was down there running and Wayne Anderson would show up, you could go about a 1460, 1465. And now if you show up the weekend after the Governor's Cup and you don't go a 1440 or 1450, you're in trouble. I mean, we've done it before. We've gone a 1460, we're first car to go out. And then by the end of the field, you know, we're sitting 8th to 10th. And Florida, racing in Florida has picked up a lot. And it's making it tougher. Like earlier in the show when you guys said I lost that car, I mean, and then trying to start with a new one and trying to pick up the pace 2/10, it makes it really tough.
Well, Jeff, the biggest question in Florida stock car racing is, why'd you throw your helmet at Ocala?
I did not throw my helmet at Ocala.
There's the answer right there because I already knew that.
I did not throw my helmet at Ocala.
Everybody blamed
him. I was mad. It had nothing to do with the people I was racing against. It was with the series, but I was mad. And I took my. It was during the day. I took my helmet off when we got through turn two, and I set it on the roll bars in my car. And when I went, it happened to me in New Smyrna too. When I went through 3 and 4 at Ocala, it rolled out the door.
See,
it
now,
happened. It happened to me at New Smyrna during I think it was the Quiet Heart Memorial.
See, Jeff, though,
and
that
I set
just,
my helmet on the door bars and it rolled out.
That just proves that everybody's watching you.
Everybody's watching. Big Brother's watching.
Yeah, I've seen that on Karnak, and I try not to get into those things. I don't
post worry about
on Karnak, but
we got you back.
It's fun to go on there.
Yeah,
we'll see you Saturday.
That's
at
right.
New Smyrna Speedway, man.
Okay, see you guys Saturday.
Take care of yourself.
All right, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
You
too.
Great young racer, the gunslinger.
I just wanted to clarify that.
Oh, absolutely. Now, the other race at New Smyrna Speedway, besides the 200-lap Governor's Cup race, is we're going to be talking here to Robbie Storr in just a minute, as soon as Bill picks up the phone, and we got
the Florida Mini Stock Challenge 100-lap
race. Yeah, 100-lap race.
You know, Dean's going to be in that.
Yeah, Dean will be there, and we're going to get
you've raced a couple of those Mini Stock Challenge races, haven't you?
I haven't really. I went over to Orlando and ran a couple of races. I ran a couple at DeSoto. I haven't really went anywhere else. I've tried to go to Lakeland. Didn't make a car broke on me before I could start to race or qualify.
But that's a competitive bunch of guys right there.
Yeah, you got Robbie Storr. He's a good guy. I mean, you got Ronnie Larson. Those guys come to DeSoto and dominate. So.
Robbie, you ready?
Yeah, they've been doing this a long time. And, yeah, Robbie Storr started out the year slowly, went through some motors and some various difficulties, some hardships, and we put a survey up at the beginning of the year on the Florida Mini Stock Challenge website. If anybody could get Chris Thornton this year and get the championship away from him, and Robbie Storr was winning that poll all year long. Now it comes down to the final 100-lap race this Saturday. He's 26 points behind Thornton.
Can you make it up, Robbie? Well.
Uh-oh.
Hey, Robbie, you there?
Oh, Mr. Storr.
He hung up on us. He hung up. He can't do it.
So this will be your first trip, Dean, to New Smyrna Speedway?
Be my second trip to New Smyrna. It'll be my first time racing there.
Yeah.
And back to your guys' question, if anybody can do it, I think Robbie can do it. He's a very respectful race car driver.
Well, I've known Robbie a long, long
time. I've raced with Robbie for a while.
Okay. I think we have Robbie back now.
Here we're going to try this one
we're
more time.
We're going to try this one more time. There we go. All right. So, Robbie, we were just telling people about the survey on the website there about that you were the guy that most likely could get the championship from Thornton. How's it look with 26 points behind?
Not good.
Robbie, can you hear me? Robbie Storr, can you
hear
me at all?
We're going to have to get him back.
What are you talking about? Yeah, we're going to have to talk to him later, I guess. Okay. I don't know what the deal is. Sorry, Robbie, I don't know why you can't hear us, but everybody else could. So apparently.
Yeah, while we're talking here to Dean, just.
You There you go. We're back.
All right.
Robbie, are you there?
Robbie Storr.
We'll get him on another time.
Robbie, you there? Mr. Storr?
No, Bill. Dial
Bill.
The
got it. Got it.
Dial the number again.
It's okay. Well, some that's things okay. work and some things don't.
Well, now we're getting feedback from somewhere.
Yeah, that's because I was trying to get a store we could talk to. That's
okay, right. This is a great way to end the show.
It's always nice. We want to talk to you. We want to talk to him.
Okay, dial one more time.
All right, you there? All right, buddy. So I don't know why you can't hear us and everybody else could.
I don't have to tell him that.
Yeah, just put him on. Hey, Robbie, you there?
Robbie.
Robbie Storr.
No,
there's no
working.
Reason he can't
okay,
hear us.
For some reason, it's not working. We'll have to fix that later. Anyway.
It's your fault, Bill.
What'd you say, Bill?
Are you still there? Are you still there?
No, he's not there. So, listen, next
he week. He shut you
week,
off.
Next week.
Yes.
Before we get out of time here. Next week.
Citrus County.
Guess who's going to be in here with us?
Critter.
Okay, are you
Critter will
show?
Be here.
Rennie Wilbeck.
Oh, my buddy Rennie.
That's right. And he's got some stories.
The king of the Toyotas right there.
He's got some stories. Carlene and Rennie are going to come
my
down.
My buddy Rennie. Rennie, if it wasn't for Rennie, I would have never got that race off the ground. That's that street stock race.
Rennie, good guy. We talked to him the other night. He'll be here. And, you know, he's one of them guys we could spend 2 hours with. And
Crew Chief Mark Martin and his ASA championship.
And the other guy. Who's the other guy? Rusty Wallace.
Hey, Robbie, we getting any better?
I mean, it's amazing.
We're still not making it. Robbie Storr, can you hear me?
Hey, Bill.
Hey, Bill.
Next
time, Bill.
Yeah, I guess so.
Next time.
Bill Green's over here.
Have a nice night. We don't know what's up. We'll figure it out.
We're at 9 o'clock.
Where'd the time go?
I don't know. You ripped that guy, Tom Baker.
What?
Yeah, if you had to spend so much time ripping Tom Baker's butt, we'd have been on
our own. Well, I was just – no, the problem was there, see, is he couldn't hear us very good.
I know.
And he was one of those guys who talks real fast, and he talks a lot. And I was trying to ask him those questions, and it was sounding like, you know.
Yeah.
Because I wanted him to hear. I wanted him to tell us. And he did tell us. It's like what they do is they set people up to help them in a position where they can get sponsorship dollars.
Except you were making Brad's mom have a stroke over there in the corner.
Yeah, good luck with
better
your three-peat. Good luck
now,
with a three-peat next year, hopefully.
Then 20,000.
No? Oh, you won't even?
No, not. We're done with the mini stocks.
Sorry, I missed that part.
They
won the championship.
Yeah, I know, but I thought he's had two in a row.
I have had two, and we're not going to do it next year. I'm going to try
he
to move up.
He made a promise. He made a promise.
Where are you going? Open wheels or late models?
I wish, but if I'd like to run trucks is my goal. If I could get a little bitty sponsor, I could do it. I mean, all the funds come out of my pocket right now. So one little sponsor, I could be running trucks.
I know Jesse could set up
a
truck.
So all the fun is coming out of your pocket. You want them.
That'd be cool.
Somebody to
Toyota truck.
Share it'll the work. Fun.
Yeah, just a little bit. If I could even find one tire sponsor once a month or something, it would be all right. But and I promised Mom I would take the year off. I mean, last year, 40 races at DeSoto. This year, 28, 29 races. It just gets old. Three kids.
Only you can bring hope into this driver's life. For as low as $1.75 a week, you could make this driver's life much happier. Please send your donations to shorttrackamerica.com, and we will forward them
feed
to the young
racer.
Feed
so,
the
Rick,
drivers.
What did we tell them tonight? We got to always tell them what we told them. What did we tell them?
We told them so much, I can't even remember what we told them.
Well, we had B.J. McLeod.
B.J. McLeod, Jeff Choquette, Dean Buttram. Robbie Storr was on the phone. He just couldn't hear us.
Yeah, I wish
Patrick
Robbie
Storr Poli.
Tom Baker and Brad Bischoff and his dad Brian Slunch were on.
Yeah, I guess Roland Villa could not get out. The mayor of Holly Hill could not get out of the city council meeting.
And don't
he could have been having the problem John Sapricone was having.
Don't forget
the king can't get on. Damn sure the mayor ain't going to get on.
Don't forget the other Smith, Daryl Smith.
Daryl Smith,
Kenny
Ken Sands, the outlaw.
Cool
sponsored by the one and only.
And do you Stan realize? Cullen? Do you realize
outlaw
how,
modified guys?
Do you realize how far they drove, walked in, sat down, talked, and get back on the road to go right back? I appreciate they did
promotion.
That for us,
promotion.
That's it. Thanks so much for dropping by.
Rick Mills from the Outlaw Modifieds. Say
Matt
thank
Delaney.
You real quick.
Steve Brigham.
Bill Hunt brought us our video.
Are you ready?
Last night,
Bill?
Last week.
Bill got his perm all done, ready to be Santa Claus on the next coast. The next coast, you know.
Father Time is so cute.
Bill, take it to the limit.
Let's get out of here.
Mark Limit, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Real Racing USA from the Snook River Grill. If you're not here, just listen in.
You're not with us.
One more time.